जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद जय नित्यानंद विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदवाणी वैष्णववृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की ब्रह्मभो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोविंद श्याम गुंड राधा गुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namami Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दिगं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणी नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तसिद्धान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दयिताय कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्ध विज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धाभसिद्धान्तद्वान्दहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पादाम्बुजायते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रियाः वैष्णवसार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकं हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेशगोपिका कान्द राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते जयतां सुरतौ भाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेऽर्गदि मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमद्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमद्राधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थिता कर्षन्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपिर्गोपिनाथा श्रियेस्तु नः जनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपम् प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् सुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदण्डा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशवा पाराशर्यवचसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथासम्बोधनाभोदितं लोके सज्जनषल्पदे अहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतमङ्गजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदो सुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
So, last couple of classes, we were discussing this most important verse in this chapter, 10th chapter, which is Aham Alma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashayastida Aham Adhyam Cha Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Andameva Cha. It is an important verse in the sense that Krishna is saying that what is the connection between living entity and Krishna? What's our connection with Krishna? That's what Krishna is saying there. Aham Alma Gudakesha. I am the soul of all the living entities. And Sarva Bhuta Shesthita. And they are present in every living entity, Krishna says. Sarva Bhuta Shesthita. Without exception, to wherever there is life, Krishna is there. And Aham Adhyam Cha Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Antam Eva Cha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end. And if you look at this verse in relationship with the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the first verse, it's more or less the same message is coming out, isn't it? Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Aham Mevasam Evagre Nanyadid Pashchadaham Yadedacha Yoyo Shisheda Sosmyaham. So same thing Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita in a little different words, but message in essentially it is the same one. Aham evasam eva agre. So aham, that is what Krishna is talking about, that aham. Aham means that awareness which is present in everyone, all time. in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, past, present and the future. And even after leaving the body, the aham continues. Aham never leaves us. Aham is what we are. We are that aham. So we were talking about it. We mentioned that that one who has woken up to this truth, aham, awareness in that, because he will be very much in tune with the nature. You can see in all the living entities in the nature, they have a particular way set themselves that they don't break the laws of nature. They are able to go along with it basically because the awareness in them is so tuned well that they do not break the law at any time. And even the rishis, when they have woken up in the morning and saw the bright sun in the sky, that's what is coming in the Ishvanishad, what they say is Hiranmayena Patrayana, that verse, which is the 15th verse in the Ishvanishad. So all those verses are indicating to us that that while this aham awareness is realized, it comes out in the form of a blissful experience in the person. Actually, if we withdraw ourselves from the material activities, this experience easily comes to a person. That is what mentions there, that we have complicated our own life because we feel that we are very intelligent people, and also we are very proud of our civilization, isn't it? And but before this awareness or the because of this understanding that we are too intelligent and our civilization is very advanced, therefore it has become an impediment also for us. Because first thing to recognize here is that we are very foolish in this world. Our position is like that. We are very foolish, it's in our nature. Therefore, we do not know anything. And that humility has to come first. Only when that humility is there, that Krishna is saying that this understanding that our relationship with Krishna is so firm, which we do not recognize, and material nature, prakriti, is just one of the manifestations of Krishna. For example, the mountains, the oceans, and the sky and the earth, everything is Krishna's manifestation, vibhuti, another manifestations. So if we start seeing those things as Krishna's vibhuti, in a natural way we will experience a respect towards those objects. So because we haven't got that respect for Krishna's creation, just like what we see in the nature, we are smashing everything up, isn't it? Oceans, where we want to go and destroy the life in the ocean, and also various activities what we perform in the land, in the sea, in the sky, everything is an indication of not seeing them as Krishna's manifestation. If we see this land, the sky, the oceans, everything as Krishna's manifestation, naturally there will be respect for all these things. So therefore, because it's not there and we think we are very intelligent, therefore we go and create disturbances in the material nature, Krishna's creation. And therefore when nature is reacting strongly towards us, we are completely perplexed about it. Why it is happening in this way? So many things, earthquakes and tsunamis and this and that, all the time one disturbance or the other. And when that happens, we think that why is it like this, nature is acting like this? Because we have not seen these as Krishna's manifestations. We are actually fighting against Krishna. Although it is material nature, which is Krishna's manifestation, we are actually fighting against Krishna. And when you fight against Krishna, we will lose it. We are not going to win that anytime. So here, Ahamalpa Gudakesha, Krishna calls Arjuna as Gudakesha. Gudakesha means that... So, Gudakesha, Gunakesha means because actually we are all in a sleeping state. We are all in a sleeping state. That's why in Upanishads also you will see in the Kathopanishad this statement, Utishtada, wake up. Jagrada, become alert. Prapya avaran nibodhita, come back to the light, come back to the reality, come back to the reality. So waking up means what? Waking up to the reality, to the truth. What is the truth? The truth is this, that there is nothing in this creation except Krishna. Krishna and Krishna's manifestation. Till we realize that, we will continue to work in the way what we are doing, agitate, disturb the material nature, and material nature will continue to punish us one way or the other. So those who have realized that they are the jnanis and they have woken up to that reality and and they are saying prabuddhyadam, prabuddhyadam, wake up, wake up. So wake up means what? Wake up from our ignorance, from ajnana nidra, ignorance of sleep. We are sleeping, but what kind of sleep? It is ignorance, in ignorance. The rishis are saying to us, the sages are saying to us, that because this ignorance has captured us to a very great depth, therefore the basic ignorance, this basic ignorance has corrupted our whole system. Our whole system, the basic ignorance has corrupted. Therefore, you can see that, therefore, there is no goal in life. There is no goal in life. And even though somebody is very, very rich, still you can see that he is still wandering around in the world to make more. That begging nature is coming out very strongly. And they give the example, Upanishad says this way, that there is a big feast at home with all sweets and all the special food, everything, but still he is going out and begging in the street for the food. That is our situation. So so there is a great treasure inside all of us, Antaryami, Krishna, inside. And we will not look at that treasure. Instead, and we'll go outside looking for it, that wealth, looking for the wealth. Much bigger than all the wealth outside, the greatest of all the wealth is inside us. From where that message is coming, awareness is aham, aham, aham. That awareness or realization we completely ignore and go out in the world looking for happiness somewhere. Where can I get happiness? Where can I get happiness? And that is why till we turn our attention towards that truth, Antaryami, Krishna inside, that we will remain as beggars. We'll remain as beggars. So, and therefore you can see here, normal situations, sannyasis normally in the proper system, sannyasis don't have anything, but they have no begging bowl inside. No begging bowl inside. They may have a begging pot outside, a pot for begging for food outside, but inside there is no begging. The main thing is we should not become a beggar inside the beggar. That begging bowl inside, we have to close it down. Outside you can be a beggar, but not inside. So, and that begging inside is this mind. Mind is that begging bowl inside, with full of desires. And you can see this, that many prayers also written to suit the people's desires. Dehi, Dehi, Palayamam, Palayamam. So many names of Krishnas and Radharanis and other names, and Dehi, Dehi, give me, give me, give me this, give me that. So, Ahamalpa Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastita. How did Krishna, Arjuna get this name? Arjuna was actually had to fight with Lord Shiva to get the Pashupatastram from him. Therefore, in order to get that, Arjuna had to perform severe penances without sleeping for a very, very long time. And that is how this name, Gudakesha, has come to Arjuna. In another place, it's also mentioned that Arjuna's hair is very black and very thick. And he was addressed as Ghanakesha. So Ghanakesha, one who has got very thick black hair, also it is named as Gudakesha. Gudakesha. So here you can mentions here that the (clears throat) Aham Atma, we mentioned this before. Aham Atma, Pratyagatma, Gudakesha, Gudaka, Nidra, Tasya, Isho, Gudakesho, Jita Nidraha, Ityartham, Ganakesha, Itiva, Sarvesham, Bhutanam, Ashe, Andarkhridistrita, Nityam, Deyaha. Krishna is saying there in that, in this verse, Aham Atma, Gudakesha, that the I am the Atma, the soul of everyone. Arjuna, who has won over the sleep, you should continue to turn your attention towards Krishna. So, what is present in every one of us as the truth, and that should be meditated upon. Inside us, this Aham Atma, presence of Antaryami inside. Nityam Deyaha, Atma Atmanyeha, and he alone has to be meditated upon. How should be meditated upon? In other words, how do you meditate on the soul? If you leave behind what you are not, that is, then what remains is you. In other words, an atma means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all of them this an atma. If our meditation goes away from the body, our meditation goes away from the mind, from the world, from the intelligence, from the ego, if everything is discarded, if everything is rejected, naturally attention will fall on the soul. So, who am I? Then what is my identity? What is my nature? This inquiry must come inside. And I keep saying aham aham. What is this aham means, isn't it? So, everything is tied down to this aham. And just like in all our thoughts, that aham is there, isn't it? Every thought wave that comes through, aham is there behind it. Without aham, you can't think about anything else. So, where does this thought develop? Where does this thought take birth? And that is why, what is the nature of the thought? And if you give all the time attention to that, where this awareness is coming from, and that eventually goes and dissolves itself inside the heart. And that awareness which you have always present in us, in all of us, as aham asmi, that that satta, that essence which does not change in the three states, jagrat, swapnam, sushupti, in all the three states there is no variation. Awareness continues to exist. It exists in the past, it exists in the present, and it exists in the future as well. And that awareness, that will come if we inquire about the self, that will come out. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. This aham's nature is aham adischa madhyamcha bhutanam andamevacha. In other words, beginning, middle and the end, it has no change. It remains the same. Body does not remain the same. Body changes. Beginning there is a body. At the end there is another body. In the middle there is a different body. The mind is different. Beginning we have one kind of one mind. At the end there will be another mind. In the middle it goes through so many changes. Everything else, if you take in our in this state we are, you will see that everything has a beginning, middle and the end. But Krishna is saying, in all this whole thing, the only one thing that doesn't change at all times, aham adischa madhyamcha bhutanam andamevacha. In all the three states, beginning, middle and the end, aham remains the same. Aham remains the same. That is important point. That's what Krishna is saying that in the last two lines. So, and that is, that aham, which does not go through any changes, is the Chit Shakti, and that is my Surupam, that is my identity. And that Chit, we know about this, of course it is there in the Bhagavadam, that Chit Shakti comes in between two thought waves, isn't it? Between two thought waves, that Chit Shakti comes out. And we don't give attention to that. That is the problem. We don't give attention to that. You see, like this, in the Krishna mentions this, that three kinds of knowledge is spoken about. Knowledge, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, in the three different modes of nature. How do we understand a particular knowledge in which modes? That's important. We go and acquire a lot of information from this world, from various things, isn't it? Technology, science, music, sports, all sorts of things, information we collected. Krishna is giving a very precise definition how to classify the knowledge in which modes of nature. In the last chapter, Krishna comes to that. There, Krishna says there, that knowledge which will never change, that knowledge which is always remains, and that knowledge will make you bring everything to one, that is proper knowledge in the mode of goodness. Krishna says, knowledge in the mode of goodness. We'll discuss that when we come to that chapter, 18th chapter later. But for the moment, what we have to understand is the importance of knowledge. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, the three modes of nature, creates three types of knowledge in a person. Person who is in Sattugunam, his knowledge will be such that because he knows that it is only Krishna that exists, Krishna, other things are what we call as knowledge and information what we collect from this world, that creates dvaidam in us, duality in us. Everything that brings finally to that unity in all the species together, that knowledge, Krishna mentions that knowledge in the mode of sattvagunam. For example, when we wake up in the morning after a long sleep and we go to sleep the next day, next night, between that there is a gap. That gap is the time when we are in the Jagrat state, supposed to be in the Jagrat state. So in between one deep sleep state and another next deep sleep state, there is a Jagrat state. And that Jagrat state is the one what we generally refer to as the time. That time is a manifestation of the mrityu, death. As long as if you fill that time which is between the two deep sleep states, which is the Jagrat state, if you fill that with Krishna conscious activities, Sattugunam will develop in that person, and Krishna is saying that this knowledge also will develop in such a mind, such a heart. So you can see here that in all of creating a gap in between is more important, and it is in that gap that Krishna comes, like it says in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? It is between two thoughts that Krishna comes. But if we have developed a nature where continuously thought waves are coming, there will be no gap between the thoughts. If you develop the longer gap, the quicker it becomes the Krishna consciousness develop. Krishna gets in, enters in. Krishna has to come in. And coming in has to happen inside the gap, between the two thought waves. That we will see when we come to 18th chapter. But normally what happens is that because we haven't developed that nature of the rishis who are telling us to develop a life pattern in such a way that it gives time for Krishna to enter. Otherwise, finally, what will happen is Yamaraj will come and take it away, or there will be no gap at all then. So normally what will happen is that so many different kinds of thoughts comes to our mind. We start thinking about so many other people, whomever we have dealt with in this world or who are involved with us in our life in this world, family, society, this, that and the other. So if we keep on expanding that circle bigger way, they will all come in the form of thought waves and creates the disturbances inside. So we think about the children, things about the office and so many other things. So many things are coming like this. And you can see that between these thoughts, there is no connection also, between one thought to the other. So what is there in between these two thoughts? In order that the thought has to change from one object to another object, how does that happen? That is what that important point.
that there is a gap there, and that gap where this shifting from one thought wave to another thought wave, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. So, so when there is no thoughts coming through, in between there is a longer gap. So that gap and Krishna's present there, in between the gaps, is not through Chittavritti. It did not happen through Chittavritti. Chittavritti is related to objects in this world. Objects in this world. And it is not this particular gap where Krishna enters in, what is discussed in the 7th canto of Bhagavadam, in the 15th chapter, that gap what Krishna is talking, Narada Maharshi talks to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that gap where Krishna enters, that does not come from thought wave. That does not come from the meditation. Then, and that cannot be touched by any false ego. Not touched by any false ego. And that is where you will get to know about this awareness. It's a very fine thing that is. When one analyzes, one can see that means one has to be living in a peaceful way where one can observe these things. That between two thought waves, that gap what we experience there, that is Krishna's presence. Saptama Skandam, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see that. what he mentions there. In the beginning of the but if you look at the 13th chapter, verse 5, 13th chapter, Narada Maharshi is saying very important words, Supta prabhodayo santho almano gari almadrikka pashyen bandanja mokshanja maya matram navastuda pashyed almanyado vishyam pare sadasado avyaye almanamja param brahma sarvatra sadasanmaye. This is very important instructions Narada Maharshi has given to Yudhishthira. Narada says to him that sandhi, what sandhi? Sandhi means that juncture. Which juncture? Between waking state and the deep sleep. That juncture. Supta prabhodayo sandhi. Supta prabhodayo santo almano gadi almadrikka. And it is the same one in Upanishads also mentions that also between two thought waves. Between two thought waves. So, Pashyan Bandanja Mokshanja Maya Matramna Vastuda. When one has a continuous flow of thoughts coming through, you won't notice that gap. So, basically, what does spiritual life mean? Spiritual life means increasing that gap between the two thoughts. By withdrawing from bringing that shanti inside. When shanti comes inside, peace comes inside, naturally one will be able to observe that gap between the two thoughts. People always ask this question, how do I find the gap there? That cannot be answered. That has to be created inside. The gap widens if there is shanti inside. If there is shanti inside. If there is no shanti, continuous disturbed thoughts are coming, you won't be able to see the gap there. That is what important thing. And easiest place is, one place is Supta Prabhodaya Sandhi. When you wake up from the deep sleep to the vacant state in the morning. Suptam Prabhodam. Supta means deep sleep, Prabhodam means the vacant state. That Sandhi, the junction.
Atmanogati Atmadrak. The way the soul is moving from one state to another. Atmanogati Atmadrak. Pashyan, you can see at that time, Bandhamja Mokshanja. Bandham in the vacant state and Moksham in the deep sleep. You can see both at that time. But this requires self-inquiry. Otherwise it won't happen. We have to devote time for all these things. It is not going to happen. If you run around the whole day on M25 all around, what will happen? Nothing will happen. And then if you want, that is why rishis found that unless you withdraw from the world, this inquiry is very difficult. It's not possible. Pashyan bandhanja mokshancha maya matramna vastuda. So there is a way of sensing these things within us. There is a way of sensing it. But in order to do that, we have to follow certain discipline in life. Otherwise, it is not possible. That is what Krishna is saying to us. We will discuss it a lot more later on. But here, when we say this, Krishna is saying to us, Aham Atma Gudakesha. Now, if it goes through this and goes through that, what is the use? It's no use, is there? Krishna is telling us, Aham Atma Gudakesha. He is in us, every one of us inside. He is telling us very clearly, Sarva Bhudashaya Sthida. And he also says to Aham Adhyamja, Madhyamja, Bhudanam, Andamevaja. Everything he has spoken, but because of the way our life is, we lead and the lifestyle we have, it has become practically difficult to realize these things. And therefore, we get immediately attracted by some other way of religious life, which is much more easier to execute. People tell you something directly to do, and you are happy with that. You just want to do it and finish with it. And then you're asking after 10, 20 years, what have I understood in spiritual life? Why is it happening like that? Because the message hasn't gone in properly. We have given importance to things which are not that important in spiritual life. Instead of taking the tattvam, what Krishna has spoken, we have given attention to the peripherals. And that's what has happened. Tattvam is the core. The other things are all peripherals. Peripherals, you shouldn't roll around the peripherals all the time. Always you should be focused on the tattvam inside. Tattvam is what will give you life in spiritual life. Otherwise it will not go very far. So here you can see that various ways in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is pointing out to that truth, to take note of it somehow. He says here that, so all these thoughts are coming. One thought is coming, another thought is coming. No connection between this thought and the other thought, which we know all by experience, isn't it? You're thinking about home, about some problems at home, suddenly some thought comes from the office, which has no connection with this. And then immediately your attention goes from home to office. And in the meanwhile, something else happens in your body, some problem comes. So the attention goes from office to the body straight away. This is how our life is. Every moment you can see this. All of us, it happens every day, isn't it? Mainly body, first body, and then home, and then the office. If you want to put the priority in one way, this will keep on rolling like this in history. So day and night, this is all what's happening with us. And therefore, what did Krishna say? Krishna says to us that this thought waves, what's coming through, Krishna has put them into different category. One category is tamasam. Another category is rajasam. And the third category is sattvikam. How do we know that? Which one is sattvika, rajasa, tamasam? Depending on where the thought waves are. For example, if you can see this very clearly, a person in a tamogunam, he will always be very concerned about his body. All the time he'll talk about that body. And if you get their association, they will take you to hospital. That's how they are. That they will always make you conscious of your own body. First thing. Then they'll tell you, oh, you know what happened to that person? He had a blood pressure, he had a heart attack, he had this, he had that. Like this, they'll frighten you all the time talking about the body. Equally, if you observe them, you will see they're also very conscious about their own bodily conditions. They'll say about all their appointments, they would have listed properly, dentist and onwards, all everyone else, and regularly going to them, checking up, till the doctor says to them, you got this disease, they won't be happy. They are like that. That's their nature. That is tamogunam, knowledge in tamogunam. Tamoguni nature is all these things. Tamogunis can never find any happiness in spiritual life. Completely absorbed in the body. So such nature, people are got, these classifications are so good in the Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying, that those who are in the, that verses, if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see, those who are in the Rajogunam, they will not find any time to go think about spiritual life. Spiritual life is far away for them. Why? It's always disturbed inside. Always disturbed inside. Because of their activities in this world. Krishna says, Rajasam tad upekshitam. One should have completely throw it away from inside. So, because it is the nature of the Rajogunam, Tamogunam, a person who is in those modes will always find very difficult to take all this. Krishna says all this knowledge will only develop in a person who is in Sattvagunam. So, cultivating Sattvagunam and what is conducive for Sattvagunam, one has to come to that, otherwise it won't happen. So, when it says, Supta Prabhodaya Sandhu Almano Gadir Almadrak, he says. So, one who is not observant, one who is not aware of all these things, he will wake up in the morning, immediately will think about going to toilet or bathroom or whatever, the next thing, he goes on and on and on and on like a machine, he operates from day to morning to night. And in that way, if you live, what will happen, that is Rajasam, that is purely Rajasa life it is. And that in the Rajasam life, if you want to develop spiritual life, it will be a disaster. It will not help. That's that. Therefore, another important thing. So here Krishna is saying here that that between these two thought waves, that's why when you are talking about this aham alma gudagesha, where is this aham coming from? Where will you locate this aham? Between the two thought waves, there is a moment where there is no thought. Between the two thought waves, that vastu in between those two thought waves, it did not come from chittavritti. It's not coming from the thought waves. Everything else is coming from the thought waves. It has not come from thought waves. It has not come from meditation. It yet cannot be touched by false ego. Whenever there is a thought wave, it's touched by false ego. That's how it is. Any thought wave inside is touched by false ego. So, let's say like if you're thinking about the office, your ego is there behind it. Thinking about home, ego is there. Thinking about the body, ego is there. But between two thought waves, when there is no ego, there is the experience of aham. That is that where aham is to be found. So that that vastu that is at that time which manifests between those two thought waves, that is called satta. Satta. And once who have touched that vastu, that for him he has practically touched Krishna. That's the only way you can touch Krishna. That one who, in the olden days, those who performed amazing deity worship, this was the principle behind it. Deity worship eventually, properly done, with proper knowledge and proper training, if one does that, and one has that proper samskaram cultivated inside, this will happen. To the great, great pujaris, this has happened also. So that thing, what is available between those two thought waves, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. That is how you find Krishna. Or Narayana, or Shiva, whomever you address, whatever name you address him, that's another thing. But that is Krishna. Between the two thought waves, who is present there? Sapta Prabodhayo Sandham Atmano Gadi Atmadrak. That one sentence, one line defines that. Sapta Prabodhayo Sandham Atmano Gadi Atmadrak. First one has to practice it during the day, between the two thought waves that, and then the junction between the waking state and the deep sleep state, that what's happening there. Because while going into deep sleep you can't do it, only while coming out of deep sleep you have to, if you have established yourself during the day in the vacant state, this will naturally come in the front when you wake up from the deep sleep to vacant state, so the vacant state. So once you have for example, if you know a form of Krishna or the name of Krishna, that you have not known Krishna properly yet. You have seen the form of Krishna in the temple or even if Krishna has appeared in front of you, you have seen Krishna's form and you have heard Krishna's name as Krishna's name in Mahamantra or whatever way you have come to know about it. But what does Krishna say in this verse? Krishna is saying here that the proper Swarupam, Krishna's Swarupam, is one which has no beginning, no middle and no end. Continuously all the time. Various ways you can experience Krishna, isn't it? You can experience Krishna in many ways. You can experience Krishna through deity worship. Suppose Krishna, out of his grace, appeared in front of you, he'll give you a darshan for some time and he will go away. He won't stay. He will go away, isn't it? Or in your dream state, you may have experience of Krishna sometime. Many great devotees had, isn't it? But all that comes and goes. Whereas this one, what Krishna is saying here is, in the beginning, in the middle and the end, it's there. All the time. Aham adhyanja madhyanja bhutanam andamevacha. Therefore, he says here that this awareness which is present in all of us all the time, that vastu, and it is present in everyone. Krishna says here that in everyone's heart, this my proper presence in everyone. And once you know that, that is that what we call as consciousness, awareness or consciousness. And says to Arjuna, Arjuna, that is that consciousness I am. I am that consciousness. That's how Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, isn't it? Aham alma gunakesha sarvabhudashayastida aham adhyamcha madhyamcha bhutanam andamevacha. In all states. So so Arjuna, that's what I am. So if you want to know me, Krishna says, you look at me there. You look at me there. And once you have opened those eyes inside, the eyes inside, that truth inside, it is like a thread. It's like a thread because it's a thread which continues all the time, isn't it? And that thread, what is interesting here is, that thread continue to exist even when you change the body. All other realizations is related to this body, isn't it? You have only in this body, you have realization of a form and a name and everything. But once you change your body, that form may not be there in your realization. But this realization, Krishna is saying, is like a thread. It goes through all time because it's always there. All the time, even in here, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, past, present and the future, it is present. This awareness is present. That is why it's like a thread. Therefore, Krishna is called Sutralma. That's how Krishna got the name of Sutralma. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this word Sutralma. If you look into Sutram Mahanahamiti, Pipalayana Maharshi says, how to see him as the Sutram. If you look into 3rd chapter in the 11th canto, Pipalayana Maharshi says, Sattvam Rajastama Idi Trivrdega Madhav Sutram Mahanahamiti Pravadandi Jivam. Pipalayana says that Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa Idi Trivrdega Madhav, all these three modes of nature is present there. But Sutram Mahanahamiti Pravadandi Jivam, that Sutram, that thread is continuous. It never breaks. Which one? This awareness or aham, 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 it can never break. Once it is realized, it's present, permanent, forever. So that is why this realization of Sutralpma is given importance. It's there in the Bhagavad and a few other places also about Sutralpma, talking about Sutralpma. So once in the traditional system, once who have realized this Sutralpma, he can cut the external Sutram. You know that when the Brahmanas are initiated for the second initiation, they are given the thread, isn't it? When they take sannyasam, the thread is cut. Why is the thread cut? Because they are supposed to have realized the sutram inside. Inside sutram you have realized, you don't need the external sutram anymore. That is why they take their thread off. They cut the thread off. That is the traditional system. But of course, later on, other acharyas have changed also. Different understanding. So that reminding us the Sutralpma inside is this external Sutram. Sutram means this, our Brahmin thread, as we call it, isn't it? Yajnopavidam. That is the Sanskrit word for that, Yajnopavidam. Some people say it's cross belt. So different ways, whichever way you like it, can call it. But what it is indicating? It is indicating that Ahamalma inside is a Sutralma. It's like a thread like that. It's inside there and it will continue through you all along. Even if you have to change the body, it will still be there present in you. That's Sutralma. Once you have realized that, then you can cut the external one. You don't need the one outside. Outside one is only a reminder of the internal one. That is how this thread has come about. Thread has come about. So here, the reason is, he says there, that why does he throw away his Yajnopavidam? Yajnopavidam means this thread. The reason for that is his Brahmajnanam, the knowledge of the realization of the self, has become the sutram. Therefore, external sutram is not necessary. So it is in that state that he goes beyond the body. In other words, he has gone beyond the body. There are sannyasis who have realized like that, and once they have realized that, then they don't need this external anymore, water pots and danda and everything, they leave it behind, because they have gone beyond that state. So that and Chidvastu, Chitshakti or Chidvastu, Chaitanyam, they have seen, they have touched that, and they are in that state all the time. And they don't need anything anymore. In other words, that state is called Aham Adischa Madhyamcha Bhutanam Andamevacha. In all the three times. Past, present and the future. It never leaves them again. Because they are touched that Sutralma inside. This is of course through that Jnana Margam they have reached that state. Realization of the Andaryami inside. Andaryami, Adhikaranam in the Upanishads and all, they talk about that, isn't it? So, this and that Krishna is saying here, that's me. That Sutralma when you touch inside, that's me. That is Krishna's full realization inside. Form is what you see for some time through your senses, isn't it? That's through the senses you are seeing the form. And you're hearing the name through the senses. But this is not through the senses. This is your pure identity, what you are. That's what you are, isn't it? That's when you realize it, that when Krishna mentions this, first he mentioned this one thing, Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarva Bhudashyastida. That's the first one. Secondly, Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. See that connection between the two. First he said, that spiritual spark inside each, every one of us, all living entities, Krishna says, I am that. Secondly, he says, and that is the one which is permanent and eternal. That Sutralma inside. That's the one which is the permanent eternal, Krishna's form. So, Sarabhudashya Siddha, that is one. Now, another one, he says here also, Krishna says to Arjuna, Gudakesha, Alma, Aham. And in everyone, Aham, 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 it is present there, isn't it? Nature of that Surupam Alma, it is present all the time, in the beginning, in the middle and the end. Not only that, even in the past, present and the future, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, all time it is present there. What else? In Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In all the three states also, this awareness doesn't change. Awareness doesn't change. That is Krishna's manifestation. And once that is woken up, Krishna says, you know Krishna. And that is Krishna consciousness complete. Then Krishna is present in every one of us as a living force inside. And once he manifests as Atma inside a person, that Krishna consciousness is not in your Bhava Mandalam, not in your imagination, or in Rupa Mandalam. Rupa Mandalam means in the form. Rupa Mandalam means in a form, in the field, in the plane of a form, you are seeing Krishna. Not anymore in that form. Not in your imagination anymore, Bhava Mandalam. On the other side, if you stay in that, in the Bhava Mandalam or in the Rupa Mandalam, as long as you have that experience, they will remain. But once they go, you will lose that. See, Rupam Namam has got also this difficulty that in your Rupa Mandala, as a form, it's only in your imagination. If that form remains, it will stay. Once Krishna disappears, because it's come through the senses, when that form disappears, it will not manifest. Then you have to wait for the next time to come. Equally, in the same way, in your bhavam, you may come, it may go. Rupam, it may come and go. But when you see it as Chaitanyam, the living force inside, it can never go. That's the difference between this realization and the other realizations. If you realize Krishna as Antaryami inside, it can never leave you. Why? Krishna is saying, it's always with you. It can never leave you. As Chaitanyam, living force. So, in order to realize that as Chaitanya inside, first thing is the mind has to be pure. Mind has to be pure. And the senses has to be pure. And for that you have to chant the holy name. That's the way. There's no other way. You have to chant. And through chanting process, what you are realizing here is Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhavanidi, Shabdyade. Isn't it? All the three is possible. But in order that everything has to happen, the mind has to be pure. Mind has to be pure means these chitavrittis has to withdraw from inside. And now chitavrittis has to stop. We have to put the effort for that. And that is this chanting process. So once this chitta means the subtle body, if that is purified, we will understand the meaning of this verse, what we are discussing now. Aham Alpa Gudagesha. Otherwise, it will come in our experience. And within ourselves, you will realize that Krishna is present as a soul in everyone. And that tattvam will be clear to us at that time. Only at that time. So, Ahamalpa Gudakesha, you can explain it like this in various ways, this verse. It is an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it's closely related to realization, realizing the self. And you have seen that why Krishna gives importance to that verse, because this is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna very openly tells us what's our connection with Him. Isn't it? What's our connection with Him? So here we have seen that in this 20th verse before, we have started from that 12th verse where we mentioned Arjuna asked the question, isn't it? Param Brahma, Arjuna Vaja. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvadam Divyam Adi Devamajam Vibham Ahushyavshaya Sarve Devarshi Naradastada Asito Devalo Vyasa Soyam Jaiva Bravishime. Then Sarva Medadadam Manye Yenmam Vadasi Keshava Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidurdeva Nadanava Swayam Evalpanalpanam Vetatvam Purushottama Bhudabhavana Bhudesha Deva Deva Jagalpade Vaktum Arhasya Sheshena Divya Hyalpa Vibhutaya Yabhir Vibhuti Birlokan Imam Tvam Vyapitishtasi Katham Vidyamaham Yogim Tvam Sada Parichindayan Keshu Keshuja Bhaveshu Chintyosi Bhagavan Maya. Vistarenalpano yogam vibhudim jajanardhana bhuya kathaya truptirhi shrunudo nastime amrutam. These are all Arjuna's verses. And Krishna started replying. So we have seen these two verses now. Shri Bhagavan vacha handade kathayishyami divya atma vibhudaya pradhanyada kurushreshta nasti ando vistarasyame. Then aham atma gudakesha sarva bhuta shayastida aham adhyanja madhyanja bhutanam andamevacha. So it is important to know Krishna from Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan in different levels. It is realized. So you can see in this particular verse why it is important to know this way. Aham adhyanja madhyanja bhutanam andamevacha. As Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. Now, why other sampradayams and paramparas have a little different from this understanding. That question will naturally come, isn't it? We have so many different philosophical conclusions. Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishta Advaitam, Shuddha Advaitam, Kevala Advaitam, Dvaita Advaitam, Achindya Bheda Bhedam. Like this, there are various propositions, standpoint of the Tattvam from different Acharyas in there. What we'll do when we meet for the Easter holidays? So the first day we'll discuss that before we go into Bhagavatam a little bit more. Today we'll go on from here. So Sanatana Dharma, in Sanatana Dharma or in the Vedam, the important thing spoken is self-realization for everybody. On that issue, that knowledge of the self, there is no difference of opinion between any of the Acharyas. All of them agree on that, that you have to realize the self. You have to realize the self. And everybody is asking the same question, that Dvaitam, Vishishta Dvaitam, Advaitam, and Vallabhacharya's Shuddha Dvaitam, or Achindya Bheda Bhedam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achindya Bheda Bhedam, they all agree on this one thing, that that if we realize ourselves, what we are, then you will know about the truth. If you know who you are, then you will know the truth and you will get a release from the material existence. That is the goal, isn't it? That we don't want to come back here and accept another body again. On that issue, everybody is in agreement. Whether it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Vallabhacharya or Ramanuja, they all agree on this one issue, that how not avoid coming back again and accepting another material body. This is the principle behind it. Sometimes we have wrongly understood certain things from Bhagavad Gita also. For example, when Krishna says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayaja dushkridam, Dharma samsthavanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. There is a verse, isn't it? So generally when people present Krishna consciousness, you will see many times people saying this. Krishna has come to this world to kill all the baddies and to keep all the goodies here. That is not Krishna's purpose of descending here. That's a misunderstanding. If it is like that, what was happened after Mahabharata war? There was no goodies, no baddies either. All finished. Including his own family. He completely finished them up, isn't it? So, to think that God comes here to filter out the good and the bad and to kill all the bad ones and only allow the good ones, because if you read that verse, you will get that conclusion. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayaja dushkritam. Paritranaya sadhunam means protecting the devotees. So we feel, we are saying we are devotees, so we are protected. And all others outside, they are all the ones, they will go to hell. So this is how we interpret it in our own little mind. We think like that. Vinasha. Actually, purpose of Krishna coming here is only one thing. To tell us, escape from here. That is the message to everybody. And that is what his self-realization is all about. That realize the self, don't come back here. He told us so many times, same Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita also, that this place is birth, death, old age, disease and distress. There is nothing else on offer here. If you have taken birth here, what you bring with you is distress. It is with distress you come here. And you are here only to experience distress. There is not much otherwise to enjoy here. So, in order not to come back here, that is the message actually, Krishna's message, is not to come back here. And it is that thing he mentions here, that there is no disagreement among the Acharyas on these issues. On these issues, there is no disagreement. They all agree that even though generally people who are in the material life, they will say, oh, Krishna has come. Why, then we will say, why Krishna is not protecting us? Krishna is not protecting us. We are supposed to protect us. We are devotees. All this kind of argument we bring forward, isn't it? Krishna's appearance is not to protect us. Krishna's appearance is he comes here, gives the message and he goes away. If he utilize the message, take advantage of it and realize the truth here while given this material human body, it's a possibility that you don't have to come back here again. That is all the what is on offer, nothing more than that. So first thing is that there is no disagreement on realizing the self, There is no disagreement among any one of them. They all agree with the same thing. You have to worry about whether it is Dvaitam or Vishishtadvaitam, everything, after that realization, after realizing the self. After that you have to worry about how you are going to be with Krishna, whether you will be in Vaikuntham or in Golokam or else wherever it is. That worry should not be your problem at the moment. None of us should be worried about it at this point in time. So first, once without crossing this first step, it is pointless to argue about things and fighting about it, and that is not very intelligent, isn't it? Without crossing this first step of freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, at least coming to our own spiritual identity first. And then you have to see what Krishna is offering to us, whether to go to Golokam or to Vaikuntham or to somewhere else. That's another thing. So, we are actually stuck in this first step itself, first state itself. So, even if that wakes up, we'll realize Krishna, and Krishna is saying here, then even if you reach that state, anandam or bliss will come to your person, even in that state, when you come to your spiritual identity. Brahma bhuta prasannalma na shochati na kamkshati. Krishna saying, sada sarveshu bhudeshu man bhaktim labhate param. So, Upanishads are saying this, that Mimamsa is also saying, and in Vedam also, after doing a lot of this inquiry about the self, the rishis have also concluded the same thing. They are saying that how do you make this self-inquiry? That there is a very, very subtle level, there is a difference. What is that? Between the science and Brahma Vidya. What is that difference? Science saying these two things, science and Brahma Vidya. Our main problem is science today, isn't it? Because science has actually misguided us, misled us in many ways. We are completely enamored by the scientific progress in the world. Science is the answer to everything. That way we are caught conditioned now. So, these two, science and Brahma Vidya, it pushes you in two different directions. Science talk about something that what you have to achieve in this life. Inquire about the world. And academic education. Academically you make that progress. And this is a very important point. If you put your mind means your thoughts into it seriously, you will see how stupid we all are. You will realize it. One day you're going to realize it one way or the other. But it takes time because we have to go through the life in this world before we start realizing this. Science is telling us, you educate yourself and develop yourself and find out the truth, inquiry after the truth, isn't it? So, and in order that, they have developed various branches of science, psychology and so many other things. And even the mind, they have segregated it in different way. And they have given different emotions which comes in the mind, different names to it. Different names to different emotions. And different problems also in psychology, they give different names to it. You know, various names they have, very complicated names they have got in the psychology. And they've got, so what they're saying to us is that you have got problems and we have got to find a solution to that. And they develop different names and they separate them, break them up in different names, and they start treating us. First of all, the main mistake is they recognize that we have got problems. They have got psychological problems. So, and they say that you need treatment for your problems, isn't it? So, if you look at the world, first thing they recognize that there is a problem in this world. They recognize there is a problem in this world. We also recognize there is a problem in this world. Because Krishna has told us while coming here, there is plenty of problems in this world. And they have also recognized we need a solution. That is why research is going on all the time. Non-stop research, isn't it? It's been going on for so many years. And year by year, it's getting more and more active research. It's becoming more in companies, more countries are investing into research more. Because they all say there is a problem. Because if you had no problem, there's no need for research, is there? But they do recognize there is problem. And therefore, more research into it. So, and in order to do that research, they've created the experts also to go into it. So these experts, they create more problems after their research. And for more problems, you will search for more solutions also. When they have, you can see in all this research work what they have done, it never ends. Have you noticed that? It will never end. Go on and on and on and on. More experts, more problems. This is how it is going on continuously. If you carefully study this scientific field, this is what's happening. So, from the day this creation happened, right up to this point, problems have not been solved yet. Actually, problems have multiplied and increased much more. So, if there is a thing called a creation, and if it just started on a particular day, as many people believe in that, that creation has happened one day, if you accept all that, from that day onwards, it has started the problems also right up to this point in time. And that problems, what you are experiencing in this world, you can categorize it in various ways, isn't it? For example, problems in the family, problems in the society, then problems in the institutions, what you have, all those problems. And added to that, that's all problems are existing everywhere. Added to that, our own problems with the body. That also is not over. And that is not finished. Problems with this body, when is it going to come to an end? Research is continuing now. It never comes to an end. More and more papers are produced. More and more Nobel Prizes are given. And they are more perplexed about that. So Krishna is saying Krishna appears in this world. Why does he appear? Because although Bhagavad Gita says dharma samsthavanarthaya, to establish dharmam. So, when adharmam means irreligious things, when it destroys dharmam, at that time Krishna appears. When adharmam destroys dharmam, that time Krishna appears. We are thinking that like this, that Krishna has come to separate us out into two, the good ones and the bad ones. So that's how it is not true. That is not the right thing. Because if it is like that, if by Krishna's appearance, you must know this, if by Krishna's appearance, this world is going to get better? No. It will never get better. Krishna came, and while leaving, what does Krishna say to Uddhava? Uddhava, as soon as I go, things will be back to normal. And that's what has happened. I mean, this is proper way to analyze the world. Not to think that, oh, so many avatarams have happened here. Isn't Krishna has come, Ramchandra has come, and so many other, Narasimhamurti has come, and so many incarnations have happened. Has the world changed? Nothing has changed. Problem remains the same as it is before. So if it was like that, by Krishna's appearance, if this world is going to be perfect, then this world should have been perfect long ago. Isn't it? It didn't even last a few hundred years after Krishna's departure. It didn't become perfect. So, if you look at Krishna's appearance at the end of Krishna's avataram or appearance in this world, you will not find another incarnation as complex as Krishna. Because by the time Krishna left this planet, the whole planet was practically destroyed. In the sense that with the Mahabharata war, he got rid of a lot from this. And between family members also, which was a big family, they all killed each other and they also died. So only one thing we have to understand from this, that in order to rectify this world or to bring an order to this world, that is not dharma samsthapanam. You remember that? Krishna says, dharma samsthapanarthaya dharma samsthapanam does not mean that to bring an order to this world or to make this world a perfect in all ways. That is not the dharma samsthapanam. Dharma samsthapanam means that to stop those forces which are irreligious, which is giving trouble to those who wants in a religious life. In other words, those who are looking for self-realization. This place is not going to change. This will remain as it is. It will be like this forever. That is, anyone who has little bit of observation can see the nature of the world. It has never improved. It's getting worse. The other way, it's going the wrong way. So, improving this place is never Krishna's agenda. What Krishna says is, dharma samsthapanartha, in order to establish dharmam, when adharmam gets uncontrolled, then for the sake of dharmam, Krishna will come. But in that process of establishing dharmam, many people have to lose their life. That is what is happening here. So, it gives an opportunity for a jiva to realize the self and to escape from this material existence. It's an opportunity given to every jiva. That is all dharma samsthapanam means. Dharma samsthapanam, because by Krishna's coming here, we have got Bhagavad Gita and we have also got Ekadasha Skandam in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is dharma samsthapanam. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. But many times people think that he has come here to put the place right, and then it didn't happen. Because by the time he left, the whole place was in shambles. Everything was destroyed, practically. So that is not dharma samsthapanam. Dharma samsthapanam is this, comes here, gives us an opportunity, gives us the knowledge, and somehow to practice it, realize the self, and to escape from here. That opportunity is given to us by coming down here. That's all what Krishna has done in his appearance here. So, so if anyone takes it, an individual who takes that and practices it, he can escape from here. That's all it is. So, we cannot think that we can save the whole human society or even one society. That's not possible. It's not going to happen. Krishna has structured it that way. That is why he spoke to Arjuna, he spoke to Uddhava. And to both of them he said, Arjuna, if you want to take it seriously and practice it, you can escape from here. He said the same thing to Uddhava also. But we think that if we have a society, whole society will go together. Society will not go together. Society itself is avidya. It is ajnanam it is. Society comes from this ajnanam or avidya. Because how to escape from the society, that is what Krishna is telling us. You have stayed in the society for too long and the society has corrupted you so much with the society's rules. And then you're stuck in the society. And that's what is happening. Freedom is what we want. Liberation from this material existence. And if you think that you can pull a whole society with you, that will not happen. That will not happen. Because each person is a force in this world. And that force constitutes to the collective force because there is a whole big force working as in society form or whatever form. And this individual is one force which helps that bigger force it creates. Yeah. So, so in this state where we are in today, our individual self, each one of us, who are stuck in this big force, but individually we have a force. If you are able to pull your force out of this big whirlpool and escape, and pull that force towards inwards, that is the only way to escape from here. And material existence means being pulled by that bigger force, what is created by the society. That's what's called material existence. Samsaram, samsaram, we say in the Shastram, isn't it? That word samsaram, material existence, means this, that you are completely pulled by the force of the society. So once we are not alert enough, what will happen is, we will see that this whole society thing is very useful to us. But you can see how the society works. Everyone comes to you with a hook.
Nobody comes to you thinking that, oh, I'll help you to escape from the society. No, I'll come with a hook to pull you into the society. That's how society operates. Whether he's a good person or it's a bad person, doesn't matter. They come with two different hooks, that's all. So, either he will put it through your neck and pull it, or he'll pay your obeisances and pull you. In either way, it's a hook. Both are two hooks, it'll come to you. Either by beating you up and taking you inside, or by glorifying you and pulling you inside. One somehow or the other, he'll put the hook on you. So, so this hook is important. So important thing is, this world is concerned, every loving relationship in this world is a bondage. And equally, all the hate also, loving and hating, both are bondage. And whether you do good things here or bad things here, it will create bondage to you. Sometimes people will say, oh, why don't you do some good things in this world? They will say like that, isn't it? So then they will say that, well, it is like this, why don't we save the whole world by preaching this message to the whole world? And things like that, they'll say, should we not propagate everything? If you are not alert enough, you will get pulled in that. You will get very easily pulled in that. So, first thing what you have to remember is that it's not our, and in that pool, you will wander around for some time. In that chakkar or what they call it. You will stuck in that and you will wander around in that. So, what we have to remember is, we don't have anything to reform here in this world. It's not our business either. And it is also not possible to change things here. It's not possible. Even if you try to change, before you turn this way, the whole thing will go back again. So, similarly, nobody can take somebody else's responsibility here. Nobody can take somebody else's responsibility. So, one person cannot take care of other in spiritually. It is not possible. Shastram is, what we can all do is, what Shastram is saying, what the Rishis have told us, and whatever that will help us to wake up that tattvam inside, what Krishna talks about in this verse, that will help us to wake up that tattvam inside, and how to approach that, that can be spoken about, and that can be discussed happily. But no one person can take you out of this situation. It is not possible. It's all a misunderstanding. Somehow we like the shortcut, isn't it? Easy route. And that's why we say that I take initiation and then everything will be sorted. Nothing will be sorted. That's all misunderstanding. Nothing has been sorted yet. Till you yourself woken up to the reality and realize the truth. So, only thing is, if you have the desire to escape from here, and if you have that capacity for inquiring in this about the self, there's a possibility you may be able to escape. That's all Krishna is saying here. That is, that's all you can do for somebody. And responsibility cannot be taken by anyone. Nobody can take any responsibility. You may wonder why I'm saying all these things. How much people get pulled by all this kind of propaganda, that somebody else has been, I've been initiated by somebody, is going to be taking care of my spiritual. Nothing. He himself can't take care of his own spiritual life. He himself is struggling in life, and others are feeling that everything has been, I've handed over to him, he is my spiritual master. No, spiritual master's duty also is not there. He himself has to find, especially in the way things are happening now, that you can see here that Bhagavad Gita is saying here that if you wake up to the tattvam inside, you can become free. You can become free and on your own way. You can become free from this. So, on the other hand, if you say that, oh, you can hear Bhagavad Gita and Vedam, and because of that, neither of us can think that I can save you or you can save me. That is not going to happen. You have to, we all have to save ourselves from this
situation. That is important point here. Krishna is going to say this in much more detail. So, because we are discussing Bhagavad Gita, your freedom to search for the truth and to realize the truth, nobody else has any right to interfere in that. Nobody has any right to interfere in your journey towards the truth, in realizing the truth. That is your own journey. You have to make it yourself. So, similarly, we should not get completely deluded by these things, what goes on in the society, because that is where Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam has to be studied properly. Otherwise, it will be difficult. Otherwise, it will simply become a Brahma. Brahma means kind of illusion. It becomes a illusion. Just like when we think about institutions and all that, we get this false understanding that institution is going to do it for you, or some individual in the institution higher-ups is going to take care of your spiritual interest. All that illusion must go from the mind. Nobody can do anything for anybody. That is the system. So, Krishna says here, now coming back to the point, that the subject we are talking about, what is the difference between then the science and Vedanta? Science has been telling us that everything is, there is problem here, it's imperfect here, it has to be rectified, we need to continue the research and we have to find the solution to the problems, which they have done for at least few hundred years, if not thousand years, and still no problems have been solved, it continues to exist. Vedantam approach is completely different, totally opposite. Vedantam says to us, there is nothing wrong with you. It's a different way to see things. Because where did this come from? That this is how sciences put us into this situation. Vedantam is saying to us that there is nothing wrong with you. Why? Why is that? Because inside you, there is that Purna Vastu, Krishna inside. Therefore, there is nothing wrong with you. That is the importance of this verse. When Krishna is saying to this to us, Aham Alma Gudakesha, why is he saying that? To make us aware that we are not a very cheap thing in this world, like a dead matter. It's not like a table and a chair, a human body, particularly human body. Every body is important, but human body specifically, why? Inside I am sitting there, Krishna is saying, and you are not imperfect, you are perfect, everything is there in you. So that Purna Vastu, perfection, Purnada, perfection, is there in all of us. It is there in all of us. But all this illusion and everything is on the surface. It's not in the soul. That you have to see through that. Because where is the problem? Problem is in the mind, in the body, in the intelligence, senses. These are the places where the problem is, not in the soul. So Krishna's point is, perfection is already there in you. Problems are all on the periphery, on the surface. These are all surface things, isn't it? Mind, body, and intelligence. These are all the surface things. That's where the problem is. And that is, and these things are, Krishna is saying to us, this appearance of the body, mind, intelligence, these are illusory. This is illusion. And that is why in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna says, that Bhumi Rapanaro Vayu Khamano Buddhireva Angari Diyame Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada. All the five material elements which makes this body, mind, intelligence and false ego is a part of Prakriti. In you, there is no imperfection. You are perfect. You are perfect. Imperfection is what is appearance in you at the moment which you are identifying with which you are having your illusion, Brahmam, in there. And that is what has come from Prakriti. Which has come from Prakriti. That is where the imperfection is. Just like you can't change the Prakriti, make it perfect, you can't change the body, mind, intelligence and ego and make it perfect. Perfection is only in the soul. That is the difference between Vedantam and science. Science is telling us constantly what? They tell us we are imperfect, we are problems. And they have divided everything, given different names to it and titles, and told us that there is problems in the society. You all got problems. various kinds of problems, physical problems, mental problems, intellectual problems, and they have given names to all of it, and the volumes they have created to discuss our problems is endless now. It's gone so big. It's gone so big, our problems, isn't it? So it is a very unfortunate situation. And so if you look into Bhagavad Gita, look at this way, in the 18th chapter, Krishna saying that knowledge which keeps on expanding and expanding and bifurcating and separating and expanding is mode of passion. Mode of passion. I'll look at this verse. That if you look into verse 20, I think, 20 and 21, 22, three verses, 20, 21, 22. We'll study them later in detail, but just read the verses and feel for yourself how Krishna sees things, not the way we see things, how Krishna sees things. Sarva bhuteshu yenekam, this is 20th verse. Bhavam avyayam ikshade, avibhaktam vibhakteshu tat jnanam viddhi sattvikam. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all existence, individual, undivided in the divided, is knowledge in the mode of goodness. Yeah? Only if you are seeing the soul in everyone, one soul present in everyone, it appears to us as undivided. So, undivided in the divided, it appears to us as divided, but actually Krishna says it's divided. So, Krishna's process is, don't break it up, bring it into one. That is Krishna's solution to the problem. Because this one thing is the only truth, rest everything is not the truth. Science is telling us, science has no knowledge of this one thing inside. All the peripheries, they are breaking up and breaking up and breaking up and telling us, we have to find a solution, we have to find a solution. More research, more solutions, more problems, like this, it expanding and expanding and expanding. Krishna saying to us, that will never get you anywhere. Material prakriti is too big. You can't deal with prakriti like that. Krishna's answer to us, that knowledge which brings you together to understanding of that undivided in the divided. We are all divided in the body, but on the soul, it is undivided, that one thing. Krishna says, that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all existence, undivided in the divided, is knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge in the mode of goodness. If we don't accept this, there is no point in discussing Bhagavad Gita. There itself, we have to say goodbye to science. Science has misled us enough in this way. This is the difficulty. Science cannot help us on this. And let's look at what is science. Next verse is the science. This verse is the sattvikam. Krishna says, prithaktvenadu yat jnanam nana bhavan prithak vidhan veti sarveshu bhudeshu tat jnanam vidhi rajasam. Sattugunam and rajugunam, two different things. Tamogunam we'll discuss later. These two are the most important ones, isn't it? Prithak means what? Prithaktvena Yajnana. Pratakvena means which creates division. Pratak means division. That creates division, yajnana, which knowledge? Nana bhavan pratak vidhan. Multifarious situations. That knowledge by which a different type of living entity is seen to be dwelling in different bodies is knowledge in the mode of passion. Science is in this state, rajasam. Science has confirmed to us that we are all different entities, isn't it? We are all different. That's what science is telling us. And we have got problems. Krishna is telling us, we are not different, we are one. And you have no problems. There itself matter ends. If you accept this, it is in the last chapter, remember this, very final words from Krishna to Arjuna. If you understand this, Sattugunam and Rajogunam, how it changes your knowledge in two different directions. Science turned into Rajasam side and went in one direction. Vedantam took us to the Krishna side and went in the opposite direction. Very important these verses are, and that you have to keep it in your mind when you see what goes on in this world. And you want to become a part of that process, thinking that the science is going to save you from all your problems? No, never. Never. This is the only way you can escape from here. This first verse, 20. Satugunam and the knowledge in the Satugunam. Krishna is saying to us that if your knowledge becomes, realization becomes perfect, what will happen? That undivided in the divided. In other words, it is self-realization. Realizing the self and seeing the self in everything. That is in the mood of goodness, Krishna is saying. And if you keep breaking up and saying that living entity, different type of living entity seem to be dwelling in different bodies, is knowledge in the mood of passion. If you start seeing every body different, every species different, and when that ajnanam increases, what will happen? As your ajnanam ignorance increases, in this human body itself, different bodies, and each body you will say, again you will bifurcate it further, based on place of birth, language you speak, religion you follow, whatever it is. In different ways, you will break it up again and again. Krishna says, it is in the mode of passion. It's in the mode of passion. So, this Ahamalma Gudakesha, these words, what we are studying now, is throwing in front of us a challenge, whether you want to follow that route, or if illusory appearance, that is why it mentions here, if you have not put your faith in this center, Ahamalma Gudakesha, Krishna saying to us, you can, how many demigods are there? 330 million, isn't it? 33 crores, 330 million. You can worship all of them, you won't get anywhere at the end. If you don't accept this principle, what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita. So, therefore, this verse is saying to us that you can worship them all and you can find out new, more and more forms and keep worshipping them. And any time, any number of times Krishna appears here, any kind of sacrifice or anything you perform in this world, you won't be able to escape from here till you realize this one thing inside. Because you have not shown respect to Krishna who is present inside yourself. Inside yourself. If you disrespect that presence of Krishna inside, nobody else can save you or give you shelter from this state. So one who does not accept that Krishna's presence inside, does not put faith in them, he is a Gnostic, atheist. He is an atheist. Not the person who does not believe in the deity in the temple. So many people will say, I don't believe this is God. He can say like that. He is not an atheist. But one who rejects Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami, he is an atheist. He is an atheist. So, he is an atheist. So, here, once this wakes up, this awareness inside, that is what Krishna is saying here, in a natural way, that bliss experience of the soul, which is Satya Chitta Anandam, that blissful nature will come to a person. So only when self-realization happens, Krishna's point is that Swarupam, Swarupam means our individual, what we are, that awareness inside. Only if you wake up to that reality, only then the proper solution or escape from this distressful condition will happen to person. Otherwise not. Otherwise generally people will think, I have done so much deity worship at the temple and I have worshipped the different forms for so many years, and why did all this happen to me? People will say sometimes, isn't it? Why I am in so much distress? And if you ask that question, the answer is, nobody is responsible for that. You are responsible yourself. That's all. You're only responsible yourself. And and any Vedam or Shastram has never spoken this. Shastram, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavadam, or Bhagavad Gita has never spoken us, told us that you do so many years of deity worship and you will be released from the situation. No. Why? Because you have rejected this Antaryami inside and you've gone and done something which is total disrespect to Krishna's presence inside, which is the most important thing than anything else. Recognizing that Antaryami inside, all Shastram is talking about it. And deity worship has come later on as a part of the process. But we have now taken the deity worship as the only process and started giving the most important process in the spiritual life. So, but only by the knowledge of the self, that release and the shanti what Krishna is talking about will come and you can escape from here. So, in the Vedam, everything is there. Vedam also talks about do this kind of worship. Various process of worship is spoken here. And various mantras are given there. And various other external things also to help us in our spiritual life, depending on different levels, that is spoken there. And it is also increasing a lot. These days you can see in the society, it's a lot more prominent now. So many institutions in different ways they are talking about spiritual life, shortcut method. Somebody is offering 10 days course and saying realize the self. Somebody is saying 3 months. Somebody says no, it takes a little more than that, 6 months. Like that, different people are offering different things for that. So you can't do anything. That is the avidya patalam. It's called avidya, means ajnanam, ignorance inside. So this ajnanam or avidya also is multiplying accordingly in the world. You can see sometimes in the televisions also all these things. Lot of advertisements from the swamis and gurus in the telly. They are advertising about themselves very happily. So, and all what they are doing is they are dressed up like the swamis and misleading a lot of people in this world. And there are a lot of followers also for them. So, when you see all that thing, you start wondering, why talk about Bhagavad Gita to people anymore? Is it not a waste of time? Because people want these kind of things, a show, a kind of show, and what do they call the charismatic spiritual life. That's what people want. So here, you can see here that Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, Krishna is giving a certain very clear instructions. If you don't follow them and properly take it on board, then spiritual life is not going to go very far. It is very easy to get trapped in all this advertisement industry, how they bring it towards us. So here, but generally people who are looking for some material happiness and material situation, good situation here, for them, all these different spiritual institutions, it has become like a shopping complex. They go there shopping. That's what's going on. All over the world you will see the number of spiritual institutions that's come up in the last few decades, if you look at it. And everybody has something to offer. They are telling you that we can do this for you, we can do that for you. Either it is centered around one person, or it is centered around some mantra, or something like that. They will make you feel and trap you into it, and you get stuck there. Vedam does not accept all these things. These are all new things that's come about. But those who are seriously searching for the truth, for them, Vedantam is the answer. Vedantam, Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavadam also to Uddhava. Uddhava, this knowledge what I have given to you, want to utilize it? Utilize it. If not, you can leave it. That's what he said to him. Isn't it? While leaving, he says to Uddhava, utilize this knowledge and realize the truth. And Krishna walks away from there. And to Arjuna also, yathechasi tatha kuru. Do what you like. I have told you the truth. Now you do what you like. So if you accept Krishna's authority, and knowing very well that all the traditions of the Vedic times, Vedic philosophy, who are followers of Vedic philosophy, they are accepting Krishna's authority, all the acharyas, all the great jnanis, devotees, everybody. And for all of them, Krishna is saying that one who has willing to sacrifice for that purpose, or one who is keeping this goal, this knowledge as the ultimate goal, for them it will work. That's how Krishna put it. If you look into the 5th chapter, Krishna mentions this. Tad buddhaya tadalmanam tannishta talparayana. 5th chapter, 17th verse. Tad buddhaya tadalmanas tannishta talparayana Gachandhya Punaravrtim Jnana Nurdhuta Kalmashaha.
When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. That's that verse.
Tan buddhaya tadalmanam tannishta talparayana gachandi apunaravrtim jnana nurdhuta kalmasha.
Says that jnana nurdhuta kalmasha, through knowledge you have come out of all your kalmasha. Kalmasha means from the miseries of this world, or the misunderstanding or misgivings.
Gachandi apunaravrtim, no more you have to accept another body.
This is the science of the soul, how it happens.
No other processes, whatever you experience in this world, through advertisement, other things, you can't accept them as the truth, what Krishna says here.
So only one who is prepared for this, one who is willing to throw away all other things and accept this, only for them, throw away means all that is material and all that is Vaidigam. Vaidigam means Vedam also talks about a lot of things for happiness in this world, isn't it? There are many things in the Vedam which refers to living a happy life in this world. All the different samskarams and so many other things are related to that. Vedic point is that it may be necessary for some people who are not fixed on this truth, at least let them live in a proper way in this world. So therefore those things are spoken. But here Krishna is saying, Tadbuddhaya tadalmanam tannishta talparayana gachandya puneravartim jnana nirdhuta kalmasha. This verse is addressing to those who is willing to throw away all these things, materialistic things as well as the Vedic injunctions, for in relationship with their comfortable life in this world. Only such a person can stay in that state. In that state. And it is not possible to speak the truth all the time, isn't it? But every time you have to genuinely hold on to the truth. You have to genuinely hold on to the truth. And not hold on to anything what is false. Anything what is false. And that is why Mundaka Upanishad mentions this. It says there that Satyameva jayate nanrudam Satyena pandha vidato devayanaha Yena akramatinyu Yena akramanyat yushayo asyagama yatra tat sat sadyasya paramam nidhanam. Satyameva jayate na anradam Satyena pandha vidato devayana Yena akramandi rishayo aptakama yatra tat satyasya paramam nidhanam. It is in the second Mundakam. In the Mundaka Upanishad you will see this. Satyameva jayate na anradam. Only Satyam can win. Anradam cannot win. Anradam means false. Anradam cannot win. So, wherever the presence of Satyam is there, he said, and one who takes shelter of that Satyam, truth, and one who has kept realizing that truth as the goal of life, for him, Upanishad says, it's not very complicated, it is simple. And there is no complexity. And it doesn't cost anything, and there is nothing to be done specially for that. Because Krishna says, the Upanishad says, if you have realized yourself what you are, you will know that there is nothing wrong with you. Science is telling us there's a lot of things wrong with us, isn't it? Upanishad is saying to us, if you realize yourself who you are, then you will know that there is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. So, here, this vastu, what we have got with us, what is the Krishna's presence inside, aham asmi, that sometimes you feel it's very complex, isn't it? And this is not something, it is what we have got, aparoksham. Aparoksha is not paroksha. Aparoksham it is, isn't it? Why it's called aparoksha? Aparoksha means it's only in your experience, not in your perception. Not in your perception. But it is in your experience. Which one? Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarvabhudashi Astida. That is in your experience. That is why it's called aparoksham. It is not pratyaksham. Pratyaksham means what you perceive through your senses. That is perception.
So Krishna says here, Aham Atma, I am present in everyone's heart, permanently available for them, Aparoksha Chaitanyam, that living force. There is nothing to achieve there, And this, that's all what is there. There is nothing else present inside. Aham Adhyam Cha Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Antam Eva Cha. So, any other things in this world, you have to work and get it. This one thing, Aham, it is not to be God. It's already there. You have got it with you. And therefore, there's nothing to achieve anything. Only that Ajnanam has to go and realize the identity. That's all it is. That's what Krishna says. Krishna says here. So, so therefore, whatever the Shastram tells us, spiritual master tells us, he has to give attention to that. And he has to accept it. This revelation in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why this verse is important. If you study this verse in depth and analyze it and see the depth of that verse, Krishna is saying, through this verse alone, I have got inside you. Just like some people, Krishna cannot enter inside through any other way. Krishna cannot get inside through salsangam, through holy name. So for them, Krishna has to enter inside through prasadam. That's how it is. See, the rishis, they are very intelligent. They are given a way to everybody. Those who cannot, because they know our situation, that we have not a clue what spiritual life is all about. And therefore, various levels, truth is spoken. The highest level in Vedantam, it says, Krishna is already there inside you, realize it. That's all what is required. And if you can take it straight away, accept it, you will escape from here. You won't suffer from here anymore with the body, with the mind. And this Bhagavad Gita is as a master presentation of that truth. You can't present it better than this way Krishna has spoken there. So, in depth, it opens up the truth in front of you. So, if you take it that way, everybody may not be able to do that. And so, therefore, in different levels, truth is spoken by different acharyas. For those who are willing to accept it, those who have got that purification inside, or those who have got that surrender inside, purity inside, and nature of vairagyam inside, for him acceptance will be a lot easier. For those who does not have it, who requires time to purify themselves, for them they have to engage in various sadhanas, bhakti sadhana, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, mandanam, dasim, sakhyam, atmanivedanam, all these processes necessary to bring you to that level of purity. And then there are others who cannot do even that. For them, Rishis are saying to us that take prasadam. Whatever you are doing in this world, make connect it with Krishna. Of course, the best thing the Rishis found out, that food is the first thing that will influence a person. So therefore, prasadam, through prasadam, Krishna has to get in. So what is expected is that at least if through prasadam, Krishna gets in, inside, after a long time taking prasadam, one day the mind will turn in the direction of chanting or going for hearing about Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, which may or may not happen. That depends on various other factors as well. But for them, Krishna can only enter through prasadam. There's no other way. So different ways the rishis have given different processes. So here you can see that although the truth is very simple, what Krishna is saying, isn't it? If you understand it, what Krishna has spoken about, truth is very simple. Krishna is saying to us, spirit soul has no fault with it. It's perfect. Because I am that, that's all inside. Which means there is no imperfection there. Imperfection is all in the body, in the mind, in intelligence. Don't identify, move away from the body, identify with the soul, and that is the only way to free yourself from the distress. This is all what Krishna has told us, the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And to Arjuna Uddhava also, Krishna says the same thing. So, the fact is very simple, but we find that very difficult, in spite of repeatedly Krishna stressing this point. Because the reason for that is, we have a lot of prejudices inside, prejudice. So if you have prejudice, then you cannot accept Brahmavidya. You cannot accept Brahmavidya's difficulty is like that. Prejudice means that, prejudice, we have discussed this before in earlier one chapter. Prejudice is this. Remember, Krishna mentions confidentiality. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. What is the Rajaguhyam? Guhyam means that you have prejudice inside. Why should I accept what Krishna is saying? How do you know Krishna is correct? If you keep on asking questions like that, it's not possible. Then you have to wait. There's no other way. So, if one who has no prejudices, one who is able to accept it straight away, Krishna says the problem is solved then and there. Because there is nothing to become in spiritual life. This is our misunderstanding, that I will chant for so many years and then one day I will get liberated and then I will go to spiritual world. This is not how spiritual life works. This is misunderstanding. That if any there is anything called a spiritual realization, it has to happen here now, not later. So, depending on our acceptance, if without any prejudice, if you are accepting it, then the truth will directly go inside. Too direct, that is the problem. The truth is too direct. So, if it is, but our mind and intelligence won't allow that. It wants complicated ones, isn't it? Because mind and intelligence, when you hear the truth, it will create problems inside. It creates problems inside. We start thinking, it can't be that simple. How can it be that simple? We'll ask that question straight away. People are chanting for last 40 years, and still they haven't got it. This is how we will look at it in a different way, and that is the difficulty. So here, Vedam, that is why in the Upanishad says, Katha Upanishad says, Churasya dhara nishidam durateya. It is like walking over a razor edge, walking over a razor edge, the spiritual life. So why does it say like that? Because why did the Upanishad say like that? Because the mind will cheat you. Upanishad knows that. You tell the truth to someone, they will accept it. As soon as the mind comes back, it will tell you, no, it's not like that. When you hear all these things from Bhagavad Gita, immediately you can see there is truth what Krishna has spoken, isn't it? But as soon as you go out, mind will tell you, no, it can't be like that. It can't be that simple. It will tell you like that, isn't it? If you read these two verses, knowledge in the Satugunam and knowledge in the Rajogunam, you can see where we are at with Vedam, science, and the science. Science has complicated the whole thing to such an extent, and they are caught up in that, unable to come out of it. They have come to that far now. It's gone too far in that direction. And Vedam, Krishna is always telling us that there is only one truth. That's me, Krishna says. Krishna is the only truth. And that truth is manifested in these different bodies, different forms, in different form of the world, in living entities and these things. So once you see that one truth, undivided in the divided, Krishna says, isn't it? Undivided in the divided. That words are also very good in the words, if you look. Krishna is saying, avibhaktam vibhakteshu. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. Actually it is avibhaktam. There is not many, there is only one. But in your experience, you appear as though it is vibhakteshu. It is broken up into many. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu tat jnanam viddhi sattvikam. Krishna says that is knowledge in the goodness. Knowledge in the goodness is that. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu tat jnanam viddhi sattvikam. What is that? Sarvabhuteshu yenekam bhavam avyayam ikshade. Avyayam ikshade. So, that is knowledge, Krishna is saying to us, but we won't accept it. We will go after this science. Science is telling us, no, that second verse, Prithakvidham, says, Prithaktenudu yajnanam nana bhavan prithakvidhan. We want prithak, everything broken up. More and more breaking up, we enjoy it. Some 50, 60 years ago, there was not so many departments in the hospital. Now if you go there, there is specialist for everything. I think one day there will be all the 32 teeth will have one specialist for each teeth. It's going in that way. breaking up. Because they think by breaking up they are doing a big job. And this is our problem. And this has happened in all fields of medicine. You will see, with the brain and with the. And they're completely perplexed. It's not getting anywhere. It's going on and on and on and on. And it is very frustrating for them also, those who are involved in this process, that at some time they feel it is endless. It's not going to come to an end. Whole life they'll study in this one body and they're not getting anywhere. Imagine that state. So that's why Krishna is saying here, if you have the capacity to understand what Krishna is saying, he says that avibhaktam vibhakteshu, then tadbhaktam vibhakteshu tatyanam vidhi sattvikam. Sattvagunam will create, make you aware of that oneness inside of everybody, not these multiple bodies. We have all kinds of bodies, then body we have separated them based on the different races. We are saying this race, that race, male, female, and all different species, and like this endless, isn't it? And where is it going to end, this study of the world? It never comes to an end. Now these scientists are very funny. Now they are saying that they're talking about going to the moon to dig for the oil there. Isn't it? They're talking about it. So they already started discussing here, how should we break up the moon? Look at these people's head, how it's working. It's there in the paper, the last few days they're talking about it. That how to go to the moon and break up the moon to different people, who should own what. Because they're saying, when they started this space exploration, they didn't know where it's going to end. So at that time they thought, whoever can go freely. But now it's getting a little better. They start realizing that people are saying that there is oil there. Some people are saying, because they found there is water there, so there could be oil there as well. So private companies have come into it. Government is not getting involved too much. Private companies have got a lot of money. They're saying that in a few years' time, we'll have this some kind of equipment which will go there, start exploration there for the oil. Imagine in the moon, these things. And so this is our mind. Look at the mind, how it works. So that is that second verse, Pratak Bhava, Pratak Vida. Krishna says, isn't it? The rishis are not stupid. They can see through all this stupidity of the mind, how it works. So that's why he says here, Pratak, Pratakvena hi tu yat jnanam, nana bhava pratak vidham. Veti sarveshu bodeshu tat jnanam vidhi rajasam. Rajasam. This is the two kinds of knowledge Krishna has spoken. And then there is one more class which is more interesting than the other two. That is, yato krishnaan ekasmin. Krishnaad ekasmin karye saktam ahetukam. Atatvartvad alpamcha tat tamasam udahridam. This is a little different than the second one. Second one is intelligent, but only misguided. That's all. The third one is the dull-headed type. What he says here, that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all-in-all without knowledge of the truth and which is very meager is said to be in the mode of darkness. In the mode of darkness. So he says here, yattu krishnad ekasmin karya saktam ahaitukam. Tamogunam works like that. That you'll attach to one particular type of work and you are happy with that, doing that for the whole life. For the whole life you'll do that work. And adatartvad alpamja tat tamasam udahridam. The result what you derive from that work is very meager. One thing. Very meager. Because most of the work is in tamogunam in the world. Isn't it? We give our life to get a salary in this life. Isn't it? Such a valuable thing, self-realization, for which Krishna has given an opportunity. We are willing to barter it for the sake of a monthly salary for the whole life, isn't it? That is this tamogunam. Tamogunam, the strength of the tamogunam is there in that. We feel that we are doing a better business. Actually, we are losers in that business. So, tat tasmakam udahridam, and is said to be in the mode of darkness. One who is gone in that direction. Anyway, when we will come to that 18th chapter, it's just a reading that came to my mind. So, sarvabhudeshu bhavam avyayam akshade avibhaktam cha vibhakteshu. So Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, three modes, they work in its own way. They work in its own way. So here, Krishna mentions here that Krishna is present as Aham Atma, is an Atma, as the soul. And Krishna himself says that he is Pratyagatma. Pratyagatma is the one Antaryami. Inside. These are different names, that's all. Don't get disturbed over that. Antaryami, Pratyagatma, Sutraatma, different names are used depending on from which angle you are looking at it. So, and all these things, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us these things. Keeping Krishna in the front. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, that's what he is doing. That from Krishna he is speaking this. He is using Krishna himself. He is saying here, you have to know this, that as Antaryami, it is Krishna who is present inside. And through Krishna's lips, these words are coming out. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna. So, using Krishna and Arjuna, the Rishi is telling us the truth, the fact. Accept it as the truth. Through Krishna's lips, it's coming out to us. And, hey Gudakesha, in everyone's cave inside, I am that soul who is present in everyone. There's another meaning also to the word Atma. Aham Atma. Atma means one which swallows everything. Which swallows everything. How does it swallow? It swallow means it swallows the world. It swallows the mind. Swallows the intelligence. And it swallows the body also. That is the nature of Atma. Because once you realize the self, what will happen? The world is gone. Body is gone. Mind is gone. Intelligence is gone. So because it swallows everything, and everything has come from that source, Atma, isn't it? And it can swallow this back again to it. So therefore, once you have seen the Atma, soul inside, then there is no more world existing. No more world existing. No more body existing. No more mind existing. No prapancham, creation exists. No body exists, no mind exists. Once a realization happens inside. Those who are not realized, for them the body will exist. When you see a self-realized soul, for that person his body doesn't exist anymore. Mind doesn't exist, intelligence doesn't exist. But outsiders, they will only see his body. They won't see his inside this realized self. So for outsiders the body will exist, but for him body doesn't exist. That is what Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Dehastobi na dehastha. Dehastobi na dehastha. He has reached that state. Deham doesn't exist for him anymore. So, what will happen at that time? Once you have woken up to that reality of the self, after that, Krishna says, you are Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Pure, eternal, and always liberated. Always liberated state. That's your state. And you will know that you have no contact with the world. You have no contact with the world. Now we feel we have a lot of contact with this world, isn't it? That we have a lot of connection with this world. And that is why we have got birth certificate, death certificate. We feel we have contact with the body because of that. We need that certificate, isn't it? But once you realize the self, what certificate can he have? No birth certificate for him, is there? So that is why I say, so this has to be... to wake up this reality, that is what? Self-inquiry. Vicharam is required. Aham adhyamcha madhyamcha bhudanam antamevacha. Krishna is saying. So, you can see that if you look into our own life, how things have changed. Balyam, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age. Like that, it is continuously changing. And in everywhere there is change happening. But you look into your awareness, there is no change. The same awareness what you had when you were a child, and the same awareness today also. I am. That hasn't changed. There's no difference in the degree of awareness, isn't it? So, all the changes are in the plane of the body. In the plane of the body. So, in consciousness, plane of consciousness, there is no change. Plane of consciousness, there is no change. So, if you look into the awareness, you look there, said, and that is always present there in all times, in the youth, in the old age, every time. And And body and the mind goes to the boyhood, youthhood, old age, all these changes. And that awareness and these changes, what is happening in the body and mind and everything, that is Prakriti. That is Prakriti, because that's why the change is happening. And the awareness, which is called Jiva, we call it a Jiva or Purusha also, and that is Atmasvarupam, that is our spiritual nature. And how to know about that Chit? Krishna is saying here, in order to know how to know about that, that's why Krishna is saying here, I am the one who is inside you. I am the one who is inside you. So there the question will come, we and Krishna will start fighting each other. Who is inside? It's you or me. So Krishna is saying to us, I am inside you. And I am telling Krishna, no, I am inside, not you. That's what's going on at the moment, isn't it? We are fighting with Krishna, who is inside this body. So ultimately Krishna says, you know that we are both one. There is no difference between you and me. And I am telling you that I am inside, and you are telling me that you are inside. And but ultimately, both of us are saying that together, aham, aham. Krishna is saying aham, I am also saying aham. So that's where the chapter finishes. Up to that time, I'm saying it's me who is inside, and Krishna is saying Krishna is inside. But now Krishna is saying that aham, aham, aham is me. And I am saying aham. Aham means I am. I am. I am that. Krishna is saying I am that. There's no difference. So, so eventually this my identity, which is that Jiva Bhavam, when it is comes in the form of that false ego with which I identify the moment, it is that a false ego is speaking to Krishna, that I am present there. When that Jiva Bhavam goes away, false ego goes away from inside, then what is present there, that Anubhuti or Sat or Chit or Anandam, that everybody has, and we have to value that. We have to value that. And that is what is present inside as the awareness. Shraddha Nadi Vimala Chitta Jalabhishekam. So, in the Shastra mentions that inside, he is present inside. Krishna is present, that is the deity inside. He should be given all abhishek, everything with the Shraddha. Shraddha is the water for doing the abhishekam for that deity inside Krishna. So how to do that abhishekam? Give attention to it, that Shraddha towards that. We are giving Shraddha for various other things in this world, isn't it? So so that is while looking outside in the world, Krishna is saying, turn inwards and give attention there. Inwardness, that's what he's talking about. So many thoughts are coming continuously. Instead of going towards with the thoughts, ask the question, who is having the thoughts? Who is having the thoughts? So who gives the space for the thoughts to come and go? And all these thoughts are coming and disappearing, like in the screen, like in the screen. So what is that is present inside, behind these thoughts waves? Who has taken the form of the thoughts? Actually, in the Upanishads also mentions this, that it is our false ego that comes in the form of thoughts. It puts a cover of thought and comes in. And that you can see in every thought, if you look carefully, behind that your ego is there. Isn't it? If you are thinking about, say, office, because you are there, that's why the office is there. So you have put a cover yourself with the official engagements or official activities, and you identified in that way, and it is that if that false ego is not there, office is not there. False ego is not there, family is not there. False ego is not there, society is not there. So all the thoughts in you is having its core as this ahankara, false ego. It's from the false ego all the thought waves are coming. All the thought waves are coming. So, I am, Krishna is mentioning here, Hamalpa Gudagesha Sarvabhudha Shayasthita. That awareness is the one which is chanted more than even the holy name. we have started chanting it from the day we were born, and we'll be chanting it till the day we leave this body. Awareness will be chanting inside. And that chanting is what we are hearing here, isn't it? All the time. So, so even when you are chanting the holy name, you need that I behind it, isn't it? I am chanting. That is our chanting process. Sadhana also, when you do it, the chanting, while chanting also, I am still present there, isn't it? So abhimana vritti, or that chitta vritti, I thought, it's called, that is a presence is there in that situation. So, and when we do that, everything based on I thought, we experience as though it's all very real, isn't it? It's all very real and it's very important. So, it is based on this personality, society is based. Society is based on the personality. That is what it is important here. That's what it says here. That is the reason we say that society is a lie. Society is a lie. If you identify with the society, it will be very difficult to grow in the spiritual path very far. There are various problems in the society. Society will put a block. Everything. Because society is born from your false ego. Nothing to do with the self. Self is always on its own, untouched by any of the things in the society. For example, you will see one important thing, Ishopanishad, if you take. Have you got that? Yeah. There is a verse there which says, first verse is, okay. This it's important. It's important. There it says here. I got it. Yeah. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. That's a goal. Ishavasyam idam sarvam, to come to that point. Et kincha jagatyam jagat tene tetyene bunchida magrida kasya siddhanam. Now, this verse is very interesting in the sense that a very high knowledge is spoken there. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Isn't it? Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything is Krishna. Krishna has come from it. And finally it says, magrida kasya siddhanam, that you should not take anything because it belongs to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. You should not take anything from that. You may wonder, why this is an ordinary thing that you should not take others' things. That's a normal thing in the instruction. And a very high tattvam is spoken in the first line. And a very ordinary instruction is given in the last line. Isn't it? Reason is this. That if you magrida kasya siddhanam, if you don't follow that, ishavasyam idam sarvam is never possible to realize. That's the problem. It's the absolute thing. Magrida kasya siddhanam, if you don't follow that strictly, ishavasyam idam sarvam will not be realized. I'll give you an example. Say you have some legal case with somebody. You've taken it to the court. Now, if you want to see in that person against whom you are fighting the case in the court, as Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, it's not possible. Why? You are thinking it is yours and you are fighting the case. Isn't it in the court? You're going to the court to fight the case against other person to get your property back or your wealth back, whatever he has cheated you, whatever, doesn't matter. But you're fighting against someone, and if you have this confrontation inside, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam is not possible. So these two things, so in other words, if you want to realize all these things, you have to give up courts, cases and things like that. With all that dragging with you and you want to have spiritual life, it's not possible. It will not work. These are all very subtle principles. That is why when you read these words, you will think, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tetvena bunjida magrida kasya siddhanam. Magrida kasya siddhanam is a normal instruction or ordinary world. Everybody says you should not take somebody else's things, It belongs to someone else, isn't it? It's a very simple thing to be followed. Why should you tie up that with Ishavasyavidam Swarupam? Ishavasyavidam Swarupam is a very high principle. Why is it tied together? It is the reason behind it. That if you don't have this Magrada Kasyasiddhanta, that means, say for example in life, you caught up in a court case, you got involved in some battle somewhere, and you find that you become more and more strong on that, because as soon as you become get into a court case, then you want to win that, isn't it? And you will get the best lawyers or best people to and do everything possible to win the case. That's what normally it is, is it not? A person who is involved in all that, for him, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam is not possible. So, if you want this, then we have to withdraw. There's no other way. And that is not a defeat. You have to give value for something higher than for a lower one. But most of the time what happens, people will take the lower ones. They'll be battling in the court, from one court to another to court, another court. They'll keep going to win the case, isn't it? Big industrial tribunals and all sorts of things goes on. Lawyers is a big industry, that is. And that grows and grows all the time. Why? Because there is so much problems between the wealth, sharing the wealth. What is it? Here, Krishna is saying, in this mantra, first mantra, Ishavanishad is saying, if you are caught up in all that, don't move beyond than this, stay here. Don't study this Ishavanishad. That's what I was telling you the other day, that this Ishavanishad is very subtle. And it is a very core of Bhagavad Gita's message. Bhagavad Gita is a little bit more expanded that way. And that is the difference, what it is spoken about there. So here you can see, rishis are telling us that this is a big thing, actually. that society, I was coming back to that principle, society itself is a lie. Society itself is a lie. And if you give importance to that, then what will happen? I am born in such and such a family. I am born in such and such a country. And I need a certificate for them. And birth certificate, isn't it? And there is no other bigger foolishness than that. Because even when you die, you need a certificate now, isn't it? So otherwise they won't agree that you are dead. You're dead and gone. So it's not good enough if you go and tell body is shown to somebody. No, that's not enough. You need a certificate. So this is how we have molded ourselves into. We have taken birth, we die, we got married, everything certificate. So altogether, if you look at the modern approach, it is like this. They don't trust you. They don't trust you in anything. They don't trust you. Vedantam is telling us, they absolutely trust you. This is a big difference there. That you are, Vedantam is telling us, you are divine, you are pure, and you are perfect. You are perfect. We have somehow injected this ignorance in us, saying that we are imperfect. We are not perfect. And Krishna's point is, when I am present inside, why do you say you are imperfect? That is Krishna's question to us. Why do you say all the time that you are not perfect when I am present inside? That is the purport of that verse, Aham Halma Gudagesha. So, so what has happened is now our education system, I'm saying, because this factor, Aham Halma Gudagesha, is not there in our education system. Even after studying so many years in school and college, a stage has come now that the elder brother don't trust the younger brother. Husband doesn't trust the wife. Wife doesn't trust the husband. Parents don't trust the children. Children don't trust the parents. This is our situation today, isn't it? How things have developed, you can see how situation has happened in this way. When you move away from, Krishna is telling us, you know, in the ancient times, there were no laws. And there were much more trust in the people. Why? Because Antaryami realization was recognized. Therefore, this is the after effect of that. when you don't recognize Ahamatma Gudakesha, the result will be like this, it will develop into. We will lose faith in each other, nobody will trust anybody. Why? We'll come to that later, I'll explain that a little bit more. That today, the society has broken up like this. Nobody trusts anybody now, anymore. Isn't it? You know that. Husband doesn't trust the wife, wife doesn't trust the husband. It's a very difficult situation in this world. Families are breaking up because of that. Everyone is keeping an eye on the other. Who's doing what? So this situation has happened. The rishis are saying to us, even a thief, you trust him. That is how the rishis are teaching us. Why they are saying to us is that, even if you don't trust him, give him everything, 4 or 5 times, and when you are trusting him, don't trust him as a person, but trust that Antaryami inside him, and it will change. That is the rishi's principle. That is why in the rishi's time, they didn't have all these complicated mechanisms what we have now to establish the law in the world. Rishi's principle is that you trust a person. You trust a person because rishis are telling us Krishna is inside. Krishna knows what is the right thing. And they had that kind of faith in the another living entity. They never looked at each other with suspicion like the way we are today. We have lost it completely. Completely we have lost it. And therefore, in all relationships, there is mistrust. Or what do they call distrust or whatever that is. Completely suspicions and misunderstanding, isn't it? So, what they are saying is, when you are trusting a person, don't trust him as a person, but trust it in this way, that Krishna is present inside that person also, and let Krishna protect him from him doing the wrong things. This is how all relationships existed in the rishis' times. They didn't have courts and all other kinds of setups what we have now to create that trust. So their principle was that they prayed to the Antaryami that let that person not commit any wrongdoings. And with that, they gave things to them with that prayers in their heart. And he may, four times, he may cheat you, but the fifth time he won't cheat you. He'll come to the right direction. This is the rishi's approach. Rishi's approach is that few times you give him the chance, trust him first. Because Antaryami is inside, he will correct him eventually. So 4 or 5 times he may cheat you, but then he will come in the right direction. And so you have to bear with that. You have to bear with that. So, on the other hand, our approach today is, you trust a person and give him 4 times everything, 5th time he will cheat you. This is exactly opposite way that it works today. Isn't it? If you look yourself into your own dealings in the world, 4 times you trust someone and give something, the 5th time at least he will cheat you. He will put the rope. Because why is it like that? Krishna is saying here, without seeing the presence of Antaryami inside, you have started seeing his ego inside. This is the implication of that. If you start seeing only the ego inside and deal with the ego all the time, one ego deals with another ego, then this will be the catastrophe, what will come from that. So this is a big thing, big signs that is. The rishis are saying to us, in all Upanishads you will see, that why Antaryami is spoken so strongly for this reason. Antaryami principle in the Brihadaranya Upanishad is a big chapter. And you may wonder, why is so much stressed on this Antaryami thought? Because through this, rishis are saying to us that this knowledge of the Ekatvam, what Krishna mentions here, in the Sarva Bhavena, Enegam Bhavan Avyayam Ikshade Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu, that will not happen till you realize the Antaryami. Only if you deal with another person as Antaryami, this Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu will come, or knowledge of the mode of goodness will come. Whereas, if you go through the Rajasic nature, through the tool of passion, if you keep on breaking up and no trust on anyone, no faith in the Antaryami, rajasic knowledge will build up in that person. This is how knowledge builds up in a person. If you develop the Antaryami concept around you in your dealings with the world outside through the Antaryami principle, then this oneness of the knowledge, avibhaktam vibhakteshu, will build up in a person. On the opposite way, if you start breaking up into things and take a notice of the Antaryami and deal with one ahanda, one ego to another ego, this rajasic knowledge will build up in that person. So you can see how subtle, how the knowledge builds up in a person. It's not something you can study a book and take it. You can't do that. Very fundamental way of your dealing with the world has to change. Otherwise it is not possible. And it is a very big science, the science of Antaryami principle, which is in the Upanishads also. And Krishna has brought it down to a very condensed form and mentioned here in this way. That our knowledge, even Sattugunam, Rajogunam knowledge also depends on this Antaryami principle. And that is why Krishna is saying here, Aham Atma Gudakesha. Krishna just didn't say one word to us, oh, I am present inside you, and go on to the next verse. No, this one verse is to be analyzed in very deeper level. Only then you will see the implications of that in our life in this world. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam ശ്രേയക്കൈതവ ചന്ദ്രികാവിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദ്ധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദം പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുവനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി സത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാലാം ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമേദൃശ ഇഹാ ജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരഭി ശുനീചേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാ മാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരിം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാം മാം വിഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർ നിജിതം കഥാവപോ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലേഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടുമം അദർശനം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലംബടോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാ പരാ.
So, Ahamātmagudākesha sarvabhūdāśayasthitā Ahamādhyam ca madhyam ca bhūtānām andameva ca. So, coming back to this principle of Krishna, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that principle of Antaryami. So, we have seen there that when we do not see Krishna's presence in someone, what do you see in that person instead? You see his ego. That's what you are dealing with, isn't it? When you are not dealing with Antaryami inside, actually you are dealing with the ahanda, ahankaram, or jiva ahanda, or false ego of that person. That's what you are dealing with. So rishis have told us, you deal with Antaryami instead of dealing with his ego. Antaryami will rectify the ego. That was their approach to us. That was their message to the human society. Don't deal with the ego all the time. Come out of that relationship. So therefore, they kept their relationship with people in that way. Instead of dealing on the egoistic level, they dealt with each other on an Antaryami level, rather than on the egoistic level. That's the only way you can bring the people into the proper state of relationship. And that you can see that when there is no relationship on an Antaryami principle, how quickly we degenerate ourselves and all these problems what society people are experiencing now, not particularly in the modern world, everywhere, all over the world it is like that. That Antaryami principle elevates you to a higher level to understand that, so that is why Vedam is telling us, Vedantam also has the same thing to tell us, that you have to, you are completely perfect, there is nothing wrong with you. Everything is inside, fully nicely packaged inside, provided you have to put that faith in the Krishna's words. So, this has to be experienced, that's a big science itself. This knowledge you can't propagate in the society, it will not work. This understanding you cannot propagate in the society, because in the society what it is that society is made of politicians mainly, isn't it? Politicians ruling everybody. Politicians of the politicians by the politicians. So most of the foolish people govern the other people. The foolish people only will go and take up that business of controlling others and ruling others. It's their desire inside. Is it not? But they think that, why should we let others to rule me? Either as well I may rule them. So that is how this politics turns into. So they don't have, in politics particularly, they don't have any that kind of understanding on a subtle level of the principle of Antaryami principle, and neither they have the intention to do good to others. It's more based on their selfish motive that they are operating in this world, isn't it? Because they are drunk with their, you know, the power and position and everything else. And so in a society like that, nobody can elevate anybody. You cannot elevate anyone. So they can't do anything in the society. As far as society is concerned, you can't do anything. This knowledge, everyone has to take on an individual basis and practice it and use it. It might work. That's all it is. This purpose of talking about this Antaryami principle, it's not for the society that you print a lot of notices and leaflets and distribute to the whole world, saying to them, from now on everybody should deal with Antaryami. It won't work. It won't work. It will only work individually if anyone wants to take it and practice it and see the benefit of this. Because if we don't follow this, that realization won't happen. That is the problem. If you want to realize the truth, what Krishna is talking about, the truth, the knowledge, in the mode of goodness, what Krishna has spoken about, and also in the same Ishobanishad, you will see other two places, two verses. Ishobanishad is so condensed that every word in that book you have to take it so seriously. It is that essence. That much it is the essence. If you look into the verses 6, yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyevanu pashyati sarva bhudeshu chatmanam tatona vijugupsade. One verse. And in the 5th verse, I think, 7th verse, yes, same thing. Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmayvabhud vijanada tatra ko moha ka shokaha ekatvam anupashyate. These two verses. You see, when you studying Shastram, if you are studying it in a way that which is not directly delivering you that experience of the Shastram, then it is useless. It becomes like a traffic rules. It becomes like traffic rules. It shouldn't happen. Vedic literature is not written like that. These two verses, if you take it, 6 and 7, you can see the 6th verse, yastu sarvani bhutani, in all living entities, atman evanu pashyati, you have to see the Atma. The same thing what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Aham atma gudagesha sarvabhudashasila. Then he says, sarvabhudeshu chatmanam tatona vijugupsade. If you are not in all living entities, if you are not seeing this one in everyone, tatona vijugupsade, it will develop into hate. If you don't see it, that will be the result. The result of that will be, you will develop ragam dvesham, attachment and hate. If you want to free yourself from this problem of ragadvesham, ragadvesham means, you know what it means. It means that I like someone, I don't like someone. Love and hate, in other words. To free from that, there is only one way. That's what it says here. Atman evanu pashyati. You have to see the Atma inside. There is no other way. Through the body you can't have it. You can't get it. So, yastu sarvani bhutani. Very simple words, but carrying the whole message. yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyevanu pashyati. You have to come to that platform of the atma. And sarva bhudeshu chatmanam tatona vijugupsade. If you have not seen that, sarva bhudeshu chatmanam, in other words, in every living being, the atma who is present there, if you are not in contact with him, tatona vijugupsade, it will develop into breaking up. Breaking up has come from this. Do you know there was only one Vedam in the beginning? And why did it become four Vedam? Because of this problem. That's how four Vedam came. Who asked this question? Dhritarashtra asked this question. To whom? Sanal Sujata Maharshi. Dhritarashtra asked Sanal Sujata. You know, Sanal Sujata Maharshi and many great rishis used to go and talk to Dhritarashtra before the war. Dhaumya, Vedavyas, Sanal Sujata Maharshi, they all went to him to tell him. See, Dhritarashtra is a very interesting person. He is one of, like us, very skeptical about everything. You keep telling him anything, then he will say, I agree with everything, but I can't do it, he will say. This was his problem. He always said that, because I like my son, Duryodhana. So everybody told him, get rid of him from here. There's no other way you're going to solve this problem. Who all, Vedavyas gave the advice, Vidura gave the advice, and so many other, Krishna also again then spoke to him directly, that you get rid of him from here, because he is incarnation of Kali himself, isn't it? As long as he is here, he's going to complicate the whole issue. A lot of people will die and life will be lost. In spite of all that, the Dhritarashtra didn't agree. But prior to all this happened, the sages used to go and see him. And one of the important person was this Sanal Sujata Maharshi. It's a famous book called Sanal Sujatiyam. It comes from him. That Sanal Sujata Maharshi went and saw him, and the Dhritarashtra is asking him, how do I know that everything is correct in the Vedas, what it says? The same, like the way I like us, ask the same question. So, and why is there four Vedas? Why not one? So Sanal Sujata Maharshi told him, there's only one actually. But it became four because of this prithak prithak, like the Rajasam thing, nature. Because of that Rajasic nature, it has developed into four. So the principle is this, yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyevanu pashyati. Till we see that, there is no hope. And sarva bhudeshu chalpanam tadona vijugupsade. If you do not see there, thereafter, if you have seen that, then thereafter you cannot hate anybody. Once you start seeing this, Andaryami inside. So therefore, Andaryami realization is given the highest realization in all the Upanishads because of this. Ishvamanishad is talking about here. And in the next verse, if you look, what does he say? Seventh one. Yasmin sarvani bhutani almaiva abhut vijanatam tatra ko moha ka shokaha ekatvam anupashyada. He says, yasmin sarvani bhutani, everyone who sees others purely on the platform of the soul, and Alma Vabhud Vijanata, purely as the soul, purely as the soul, Tatra ko moha ka shokaha. Such a person, how can he experience any kind of hankering or lamentation? Because hankering and lamentation, or ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, doer and enjoyer, all these things are conditioned state for a person who is a material existence. When you free yourself from this, come to the spiritual platform, what happens? All this goes away from inside. He says here, tatra ko moha ka shokaha. What happened to him? Ekatvam anupashyati. He says, ekatvam anupashyati. He feels ekatvam, oneness in that, in the soul. Oneness in the soul is experienced at that time. Ekatvam anupashyati. So, yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva abhut vijanata tatra ko moha ka shokaha ekatvam anupashyata. Ekatvam anupashyata. So here also you can see here that this knowledge, what Upanishad is saying, is not for propagation. It won't work. It will not work. If anyone individual wants to take it, practice it and realize it, it can work. It only has to go through individuals. But just because you have propagated, should not expect that everybody is going to take it. It is not going to happen. That's the way the Upanishads are. Upanishads are written in that way. So this here, it is not for vyavaharam, it is for escaping from here. It's not for Vyavaharam. It's for those who wants to escape from here. For them, clue for that. That's what it is. That's how you have to see that. You should not think, oh, now I got the method, now I'll print a lot of leaflets and distribute it all over the world, and everyone will start seeing Egatvam. It will not happen. This is given to those who are serious about spiritual life, and those who want to escape from here, not to accept another material body again. For them, the process of realization, for them, this advice is given. Egatvam anupashyati. So, because it is like that, in Krishna's eyes, in our eyes, all this good person, bad person, everything, and one who is reliable, one who cheats, all these things, they are all Krishna's different forms, isn't it? In everyone who is present there. So, if one has come to know that in a cheater, in a thief, in a good person, in everyone, if Krishna is present inside, it may not change the situation, but it will improve my spiritual life. That's what you have the benefit from that. By saying this, so sometimes people have great difficulty to accept that, isn't it? We'll say that Krishna is present in all living entities. Then people will ask the question, is he there in the thief? Is he there in the murderer? Or is he there is he there in everyone? Yes, he is present in everyone. But by realizing that, that person may or may not change. That is not the intention. Intention is for you to progress on the spiritual life. You need it. Otherwise, it's not possible, because if you do that, you can escape from here. You can escape from here. if you know that, that if you take that approach, the mind will not drag you outside otherwise. Because ragadvesham and this hankering lamentation is based on the mind. It comes from the mind, isn't it? Ragadvesham and it's not in the soul. It comes from the mind. And if you allow the mind to go in that path, ragadvesham and shoka moham, what called as hankering and lamentation, what will happen is that the mind will become very active, very busy. What we are trying to do is to bring the mind out of it, not to allow the mind to absorb in that. So if you hold the mind is there for you to conserve, not to allow the mind to get destroyed in that process. And that only in that case you can be situated in the platform of this knowledge. That is why it is said like that. So if you are situated in that knowledge, aham adischa madhyamcha bhudanam andamevacha, if you come to that state, Krishna is saying here, the only truth that is present all the time is me. That's what Krishna is saying there. That it, what does it mean? That means it is present in the past, it is present now, right now, and it is present in the future. Simple logic, isn't it? But jnanis are saying to us, there is nothing more simple than this knowledge of what Krishna has spoken. So, and because it is present, why did Krishna say like this? Adyascha, madhyanja, andamevacha. Why did he say that madhyamcha? Why is he saying that? Because he is present now. That is very important. Because if he is not present now, if I start thinking about Krishna, who appeared 5,000 years ago, for which all I have got is some book documents, which I didn't even fully understand. It's on the strength of these documents I am trying to understand Krishna. But Krishna is making it very clear to us, I was present then, I am present now, right now. And if he is not present now, it's no use to me. I am here today. Krishna has appeared 5,000 years ago. And if I start thinking about Krishna, he has come and gone to the spiritual world 5,000 years ago. And this is a long time. I am finding it difficult even 500 years ago who has come and gone. What to talk about 5,000 years ago? Many devotees have asked this question. They asked the Prabhupada also this question. It's very difficult to believe that 500 years ago, Supreme Personality of Godhead was on the earth planet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Isn't it? That question can come. And if you, 500 years history is not very long ago. You can get that. We know 500 years ago what happened in the West, what happened in India. And we have to believe that Supreme Personality of Godhead was present in this world 500 years ago. Isn't it? What to talk about 500 years ago, we are finding it difficult. What to talk about 5,000 years ago? So if there is a God who has come and gone, it's no use to us. That's what Krishna is saying here. Aham adischa madhyamcha. Madhyamcha means right now. He is with us. And that is why it's important about this Antaryami. That's the importance of this Antaryami. Bhudhanam andham evacha. Because why Krishna is saying like that is, it is a very simple thing. If our Shraddha, attention falls there. Attention falls there. But if you keep on looking at our own intelligence and brain and our sadhana and everything, it may not happen. Because then you will think that it is something I have to get by my effort. Vedantam don't agree with that. You already got it. There's nothing to get anymore from anywhere. You will see if you read Bhagavatam carefully, when Krishna is saying there is no such thing called bondage and liberation. We are talking about going back home, back to Godhead. Isn't it? One day, whenever that happens. Why does Krishna say like that? Bandho mukta idi vyakya gunado me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. In the surface you can say these things, that going back home, back to Godhead, after death and all that. In the, when you come to tattvam, you can't say that. You have to, right now it has to happen, otherwise that God is useless. If there is no God you can't realize today here, what is the use of talking about something which may happen after death, which you don't know what will happen? So that is society brings that problem. Society creates that problem. That is not Shastram. Shastram will tell you like this. You have to do it now, here. Right now you have to realize the truth. This is Shastram. Society will tell you, okay, everything is fine with you. You're a part of the society. You'll be all right. You'll go back, come back to Godhead because you've taken the initiation. This is how society will put it to you. This is the problem. Society will not speak the truth to you. Society has to do it like that because that's how society survives. Isn't it? So when Upanishads are, rishis don't have any society, you know that? There were so many hundreds of rishis. They never formed any society. Why? Each one of those rishis, they realized the truth and they spoke to the world what they had to say and they kept quiet. And they left it to us. Those who want, you want to take it, take it. You don't want to take it, don't take it. That's their approach. Completely left it to you. And that's the way spiritual life will survive, not otherwise. If you want to make it through an institution, it will go on like this, but you will have its own problems also. You will find it. You can give classes, you can talk about various things, this philosophy, that philosophy, everything. But at the end, what is your situation? What has happened to you at the end? That's what you have to look at. It's not. So here, Krishna is saying here, so that how people will think in this world, it's very difficult to say. Isn't it? People are thinking in different ways. Very difficult to change the way of thinking among people also, because thought waves depends on a person's vasanas also inside. It is centered around the ahankaram, and depending on the vasanas inside, ragadvesham, his thought waves will develop in that pattern. So therefore it says, chita dehadi deham, chinda dehadi jividam. That is a very famous statement. What it says is, the funeral pyre, it burns your body. And the life, it burns you, whole life it is burning you inside. Chinta, what is that? Thought waves. Thought waves burns you whole lifetime, and finally the funeral pyre burns your body. Chinta dahadi jivinam, chita dahadi shariram, later. So, once a body is dead, all you can do is to burn it. There's nothing else you can do with that body, isn't it? So, that is the difference. The chita means that funeral pyre, it burns the body after it is died, whereas chinta, the thought waves, it burns you while living in this world. While living in this world. So, but we are very much carried away by the chinta, by the thought waves, isn't it? So, you can see here, without allowing thought waves to come, if you stay quietly for some time, you can see, without our knowledge, mind will slowly subdue itself. So, so the problem is that if you allow the mind to grow, that's when thought waves come. Thought waves makes this mind to become very powerful. Mind becomes very powerful. So, actually, that is a greater problem than anything else. Allowing the mind become affected by the thought waves. My thought wave itself is the mind. But when these thought waves become extremely powerful, that means your mind has become very strong. And here, we are saying here, when I get a cold, I go to the doctor. Or when I get blood pressure, or a diabetes, or cancer, or anything, I go to the doctor. But I don't care about the mind. Mind, when it starts giving trouble, and I notice that so powerful thoughts are coming through the mind, and it's wandering all around the world, we have no ways of bringing it down to a normal state, isn't it? We generally, when the thought waves come, what is it? Immediately you are on action. Action starts, running here and running there. So here you can see, this mind is such a thing. It is very difficult. Manas is studied very much in depth in the Upanishads. They talk about it so much. The nature of the mind, how these thought waves comes in, and the Rishi's approach is, you can see in the Bhagavatam also, as much as possible, don't feed the mind. If you do feed the mind, feed things in such a way that doesn't grow. And such a way you have to keep it under control. The whole sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is all about the mind, studying the mind, isn't it? So, like in the olden days, you know, there was when the radios came into market, it's probably in the 60s in India, the radios came first time. First time when the radios were introduced. Philips and Bush and Murphy and all that, they brought these radio sets first time. And we were at school that time. And when you buy a radio, it was an amazing thing, first time when you had radio, isn't it? Television and all, you couldn't even imagine. Mobile phone is all now. But then radio itself was... And the radio, the broadcasting stations, there used to be a lot of... When there is lightning, thunder and all, it will all come through the radio. And also, from New Delhi, the news will be read. And when you come to Kerala and somewhere and you start listening to the news, you won't get it, most of it. Because it has to come through the radio waves all the way from Delhi. And the weather conditions were so bad. And also, some of those radios which were brought into the market first didn't work also very well. It had these knobs and it was controlled by these threads, you know, small threads which were changing the bands. You would have seen the old radio, if you look, you will see there. Yeah. So when you turn, after a while, these threads will break, or sometimes they'll become very loose, these threads. So when you start changing the band in the stations and all that, it won't fall onto the right place. So I have to keep on turning this way, that way. It was a very funny situation. So what used to happen was that sometimes you switch the radio off, it won't stop. It'll keep playing. The switch is broken. It is not working. So it was very funny. And then what you do, sometimes, and the taxi people, they put these radios in all the time. So once, at that time, taxis are also very rare them days. So people got into the taxi, and one man mentioned this. He said that he got into the taxi and the radio was playing. So he told the driver, "Don't play the radio." He says, "I can't stop it." The radio says. The driver says, "I can't stop it," he says, "because it's playing continuously. It has broken down like that." Mind is like that. Once the mind is like that, if you look at your own mind, you will see how it drives you crazy sometimes. The way it works, if you want to stop it, you can't stop it. It goes on and on and on, brings new ideas, new problems, like that, isn't it? So you can see here, and it will sing in the dream also, this mind. The other one, it's only in the waken state, but this one, even in the dream state, it will bring with you. And also in the vacant state. Vacant state and dream state is under his control. He takes care of that. So, so you can see practically between a mad person and us, what is the difference? The mad person spurt it out everything. We try to keep it inside. That's all the difference is. Otherwise, practically between a mad person and us, there is no big difference. We are mad, all of us, actually. And that madness is inside. But somehow, we have managed to put a cover on it and keep it under control. Therefore, we say that is due to society. We have managed to do this, and society view. Otherwise, there is practically no difference. Wherever there is mind, there is madness. There is madness also. So, And if you have to find that out, whatever thoughts you are coming to yourself, if you keep recording that on a dictating machine, and later on you can listen to yourself and see what all you have spoken, then you will know how mad you are yourself. It's not very difficult. So in order that, this Krishna is saying here, yoga margam, that's why Patanjali says, yogaha chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti nirodham. So important it is that chittavritti must stop. All process is only directed towards this. Chittavritti nirodham. Chittavritti nirodham, says Patanjali, says that in the Yoga Sutra. So, Jnana Margam, what is the difference then? Jnana Margam recognizes the mind and recognizes that mind is there, but as a sadhana, what they are saying is that first thing, if you are in intelligence, there is peace in there. If you have understood through intellectual process the necessity of having this mind under control, you have to know that the mind has to be subdued. Mind has to be subdued. And don't recognize the mind. Not even accepting the mind. That is the Jnana Margam. More than importance than taking a bath every day, it's more important that in order to be able to live in a peaceful state for some time at least in a day. Sometime at least in a day. You know, the sadhana and all, what we have brought it inwards, we have got this understanding. I'm very busy whole day, but I managed to fit in my 16 rounds in that. That is how I'm seeing my spiritual life now. At least when you're working, that's how you will do it. That is no good. That's no good, because idea of all this chanting is to keep this mind under control, to bring it under control. It is good. If you do that, it is good. It's not a wrong thing, because at least that time the mind is not wandering a lot. After chanting 16 rounds, you will know that the mind is having problems. You will recognize that yourself. But the purpose of all this is not to allow the world to get inside the mind and create these disturbances inside. That is the purpose of any yoga system. Any yoga system, the purpose is that. Finally, the mind should become standstill. Because if the mind is not standstill, this knowledge of the self cannot manifest there. That is the problem. You cannot study it on an intellectual and a mental level. It has to come into the consciousness. So that is why it says here, instead of... If you once spend some time without doing anything in a day, an hour or two, whatever that is possible, without allowing the mind to wander around, even if it wanders around, let it go. But eventually you will notice that the inside Antaryami will make sure that the mind come back to its peaceful state. That is why for all the Rishi sages, they went to the forest because of this reason, that somehow to keep that mind under a peaceful state. So more important than going to a work to do a job there, or going for a marriage, or looking after children, important thing is understanding this mind, one's own mind. Because if that is not in the right way, it will give trouble to everybody else. It will give trouble at the office, it will give trouble to your family, it will trouble the society, everybody. And it will trouble ourselves also. That is the nature of this mind. So even if it has not given directly trouble to us, every negative emotions that is created inside, it will continuously develop a wrong life inside, wrong feeling inside. So that is why Krishna says here that various kinds of disturbances will come and that will disturb us. Various kinds of disturbances will come and disturb us. So without rectifying that instrument called the mind, if you go and do a lot of social service in this world, there is no use without correcting this instrument here. Because Krishna, when you come to 18th chapter, we'll see there, when you conduct social service, how one should do it, Krishna talks about that. Yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, karmam. All this Krishna explains there, because that is the last chapter, which is a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. So there Krishna mentions there, even if you are talking about social service, if you are not in the right frame of mind Actually, you won't be doing a service, you'll be doing a disservice to the society. You'll be doing a disservice to the society. Krishna explains that in the 18th chapter. So, therefore, you will see that even social service, if you want to do anything, which is necessary also, but unless the mind is properly situated, without ragadvesham, without kartratva bhoktratvam, without ego, if it is not executed, it will only complicate the, it will actually have the negative effect on the people whom you are doing the service to, in the service to. That's why when they asked, Yaksha asked Dharma, Yudhishthira Maharaj this question, what is bathing? What is bathing means, isn't it? Yaksha Prasna, Yaksha story. So Dharmavutra Maharaj said that Snanam Mala Manomala Tyagaha, he says. Manomala, purifying the mind, cleaning up the mind is bathing, he said. He didn't say bathing the body. He said cleaning up the mind is bathing. That is how he answered. Snanam Manomala Tyagaha, he says. So the bathing of the mind. Bathing of the mind is, if you keep the mind satisfied, peaceful all the time, the first benefit is for ourselves. Who is doing that? What is the result? Shanti, that peace, what Krishna is saying here. Shanti, Anandam, Amrutam, that Krishna says that comes to him. So, that means, if that mind is satisfied, he will not be looking into the world for satisfaction. When we are not satisfied inside, that is why our attention goes into other things, isn't it? And this is how the entertainment industry developed in the world. Even before all these things, what we have now, cinema and televisions and different instruments and all that. See, about 100 years ago, these things didn't exist. Many people who are very advanced in spiritual life, they could sit for hours together without any disturbance inside. They were not yogis or anything, but they were able to sit somewhere very peacefully, completely undisturbed. Whereas nowadays you see how difficult it is for most of the people, isn't it? They find it so hard that even after 5 minutes they will get up from the seat and turn to some instrument looking for some engagement. And that is the greatest problem. And our spiritual life is not all that complicated as the way we... See, we create an impression, people, you have to do so much to make progress in spiritual life. You have to be doing so many years, so much service and so much chanting and so much this, so much that. Only after that you can hope at that time finally you may go back home, back to Godhead, they'll say. They put it in a different way. That is not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, right now here, if you have control of the mind here itself, you should be able to make that progress, because perfection is inside already. All you are doing is, this perfection is not manifesting completely. Why? It is covered by the mind, intelligence, ego and senses. These things are creating problems. So freeing yourself from the grip of all these things, body, mind, intelligence and ego, you are perfect. After that, there is nothing more required, and that should happen here, not later, not later. So that is why this Swarupa Sthiti, you can see, that's why Krishna is saying, Adhyam Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Antam Eva Cha Aham Adhyascha Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Antam Eva Cha. Spiritual life is always, not this mentality that I have to do now, and I'll get it later. This you have to throw it away. It doesn't work in spiritual life. It's the biggest blunder what we have carried with us all the time. I'm doing everything what I've been told by the spiritual master. I'm doing everything what the institution has told me. But I'm waiting for the result. That is only in laukikam, material life. In spiritual life, it is not like that. Spiritual life is here right now. When we are in spiritual life, you should feel the experience of that spiritual life result. Because Krishna is saying to us, you are not imperfect, you are totally perfect. But this mind, so intelligence and ego, that has become a coverage on your, as an impurity inside. And therefore, especially out of that, the thing called mind. So everything is targeted towards the mind. So, so this natural way, coming back to the important point, that Krishna says here,
then if that shanti, peace comes inside, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talking about shanti everywhere, isn't it? Bhoktaram yajnatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhudanam jnatvamam shanti mruchyati. Often you will hear people saying that, this I have heard many times, not once, you may also have heard this, that spiritual life means you're always excited, jolly, and in a happy mood and all that. That is emotions. That is not spiritual life. Excitement inside. Shanti is the pure nature of the soul. Shanti. Shanti is not excitement. Excited state is, like it has come, it will go. Shanti is not meant to come and go. It is our true nature. When all other impurities are taken out, the very nature of the soul is shanti. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita at least half a dozen times. In the Bhagavad Gita. Bhuktaram yajnatapasam yatvamam shanti mruchyati. Where else? Ashandasya kutasukham, he is asking. Where else? In the end? You know, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudani maya tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada el prasadal param shandim. So, shandi is our proper state, not excited state. Excitement will come, excitement will go. Like depression comes, depression goes. Isn't it? Depression also is like that. It will come and it will go. Similarly, excitement also will come. Sometimes you will see that, suppose you go on a Harinam, you went, and you felt very good in the Harinam, chanting the holy name, dancing, lot of people are watching, you're feeling good, and you had a good time. And then sometimes you see they go to the pub after that. I have seen them, that's what I'm saying. This happened. You can't deny that. Why? If it was all that permanent, that excitement what was coming from the Harinam, why did they have to go to pub after that? Not everybody, few cases I'm saying, it happens. So, it is to indicate to us, shanti, Krishna is saying this to us, shanti is our proper state. Shanti is, and shanti means what? This thought, freedom from the thought waves. Freedom from the thought waves. So, therefore, the moment that shanti comes, what will happen? The result is that you may not have that tendency to take shelter of anything outside you. Outside you. That means this shelter, many times Krishna has spoken this. If you don't take shelter of the sat inside, you will go and take shelter of the asat outside. Isn't it? Asat means body. Taking shelter of the body. Taking shelter of the bank balance. Taking shelter of the society. Family. Everything. All your contacts. All that is all asat. That taking shelter of all the asat will come to a stop when you start, when you have shanti inside. When you have no shanti, you will take shelter of all the other things. Or take shelter of the all the other things. So, Krishna says, Adhyam Madhyam Cha, Krishna says here, Aham, he says here, before that, first line, Aham Alma Gudakesha. Try understand these words. It is so important, the Bhagavad Gita. It is based on this word. So many acharyas have expanded Bhagavad Gita in a big way. Aham Alma Gudakesha. Sarvabhudhasya yastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyamja Bhudanam Andamevacha. What else? Everybody has got time, isn't it? Time is a big factor in life. Everything is time when you look at it. Everything is time. Adhyam, Madhyam, Andam. What is it? It's time, isn't it? It is time. So, when Krishna says this, the Rishi's point is, you have to live in this world without being affected by time. When the mind freed, time is mind. Time and space is mind, isn't it? So when you are freed from the influence of time, means you are not under the influence of the mind. Mind and time is so closely connected. So that is why he says here that in our natural state, to be situated on the platform of the soul, you got to come out of that influence of the time. And as long as you are under the grip of the mind, you are under the grip of time. Mind will not allow you to escape from the
grip of time. So therefore he says, rishis never liked time. They don't like it, talking about time. They don't like, they hate them to talk about time. Because these rishis, what you can see in all the Upanishads, they have spoken about so many subtle things in life, but they never found out a thing called watch. Can you imagine that? They could have done, if, because seeing their level of intelligence, the subtle level they have gone into and analyzed life and see the problems of the mind, you would have thought that they would have wasted some, spent some time to find out a clock or timepiece or whatever. They didn't. They didn't. They didn't invent a time, measurement of time by any means. They didn't want it. Okay, in astrology and all that, and also in astronomy, they have certain methods of measuring time based on the sunrise and sunset and all that. But from the Vedic point of view, the rishis, they didn't want to talk about time. Talking about time means you are in the grip of mind. What's the point in talking about it than spiritual life? Spiritual life is freedom from the mind, freedom from the time. Because in their intelligence, there is no thing called time. In their intelligence, there is no thing called time. So therefore, we can understand this. If you start in the proper way, like you can see, we start a class at 1 o'clock now. It's 5 o'clock. We have to stop it now, isn't it? So, so this is a requirement of the world. Requirement of the world. But even, and you, it is frustrating when you are caught up in the, in the, in the grip of the time. In the grip of the time. That is the main problem. Therefore, they have found out many things. They have found out many things. Now today also you can see television, video, computer, internet, everything. But you can see you got all these things, but there is no perfection in us. There is no perfection in us. So all you can do with all these things, that you can keep them in front and enjoy it. That's all for the time and for the moment. Yes. So so that is why if enjoy, because all these things are for enjoyment, what we have invented, isn't it? Whether it's mobile phone or whether it is televisions or iPhone, iPad, whatever it may be, all that is giving you some enjoyment from that. But if enjoyment can make you full, we should have been full by now. We have enough of it, isn't it? We have enough of it, but we are not full, are we? We are still not full. There is something lacking. Still, we are all feeling that it's not perfection. Fulfillment is not there. Fulfillment is not there. Therefore, Rishi's conclusion is, Tyage Neiva Amrutatva Manashu. You see, in the Shedashwarita Upanishad, one Rishi is saying there, Tyage Neiva Amrutatva Manashu. Not by collecting you will become rich, by throwing away you will become rich. This is how, this very subtle principle they have invented in the Upanishad's time. Not today. Way before Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Thousands of years before that, Rishis found out this truth. What is that? Tyage Neiva Amrutatva Manashu. It is by sacrificing in life that you will become fulfilled. Fulfillment will come. Not from accumulating things. Science has taught us this, isn't it? That you should have everything in life. As many as 5 cars or 6 cars and 6 television sets and all the modern equipments, everything, only then you'll become happy. But we didn't become happy. This is our hard lesson to learn through a very hard cycle. But the reality still remains that what Krishna has spoken 5,000 years ago, what the rishis have spoken thousands of years before that, remains the truth even today. It hasn't changed. So we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.